Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 122, We Never Speak of... Wait, I'm not even saying this movie's name. I'm not even talking about that stupid piece of crap movie with Kevin James talking to the dumb animals produced by Happy. I'm just not talking about it.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
And welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
Alright, fine. I'm Blue Onyx. And then?
I have a moment of silence for the people who couldn't be here that were with us this year. Hold on.
Come on.
And this is Anvil.
And it's that time of year, folks. It's our big two-part Best of 20 of 11 show.
Wait. 20 of 11?
20 of 11.
So 2011.
2011. I flubbed, okay?
Well, not the first time today.
Yes, I know, as you will see in the blooper reel after this episode. So, for this big best of show, we've gathered quite a few people under the land of Esh banner. Joining us from the Electric Sisterhood are Pandalicious.
Yep, that's me.
And Hamsterman.
That's me.
I was trying to remember the name. Oh, the number to it. 2049. Please.
2049. That's right.
Why is it 2049? I've always wanted to ask that.
You know, it's funny. I do you remember San Francisco Rush 2049?
Yes.
There you go.
You know, I played that game and I was like, hey, adding 2049 onto the end of things makes them sound cooler. So I added 2049 on the end of the Hamster Man, and there you go.
Okay, so should we call you Hamster Man 2049 or just Hamster Man?
I'll leave that up to you.
No respond to either, or hey you guy.
Gerbil.
Hey you rabbit.
Hey, no, not gerbil.
Hey,
I'm not
Chinchilla
gerbil
2067.
Hey Master Splinter.
Dad, I don't want to do hamster style anymore.
Oh,
and,
oh,
and from the Issues program, we've got Issues Guy.
Hey.
And JC Sargent.
2049.
See, it totally works.
I don't know, it kind of makes it sound so uncool now.
So, for the first part of the episode, we're going to focus on the subjects of movies and sports.
Woo!
Ooh.
Yeah.
So...
Anvil and I are psyched about that. Sports!
That's right.
Sports!
Especially
sports.
The great year that we have had in sports. Oh!
Oh, yeah, there's so much to talk about. Especially that's happening even right now.
Yes.
That's right.
But
no
first...
No, you're a basketball fan.
Yes. But first, why don't we talk about something that basically all of us can talk about? Movies.
I've never seen one.
They're the black and white pictures that actually have color and sound that you sit in a dark room for.
That you don't masturbate.
That's right.
To.
I learned about a bus this year. Apparently, there are these big cars that drive a whole bunch of people to places, but you can't call them and make them pick you up. You actually have to wait for them.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, fuck that noise.
Good thing you didn't live in the 60s, because back then you would have learned that you would have to go to the back of the bus.
Back of the bus is the coolest place to go.
Isn't it sad that we all love to hang out in the back of the bus now, but back in the day, it's like, we don't want to be in the back of the bus. I was sitting there the other day, the guy's like, yeah, man. I don't know why my parents complained about sitting in the back of the bus. This is shit. Dan Rosa Parks was just a lazy bitch. I'm like, dude, really?
Whoa.
I'm like, yo, you're...
Bitch was tired.
Wrong.
You know what she was doing before she got on the bus?
I'm like, yo, my feet hurt too. I want to sit up there.
Let the bitch sit. sit.
It's like maybe her old ass wanted to sit there. Maybe the door was closer to her front door.
She was tired from her tap dancing.
Let someone try to move me from my
seat. Dancer's legs.
Listen, someone wants to try to move me from a seat, you know, a seat, I'll kill a bitch.
Call the ambulance.
Yeah, when I'm done, you won't be calling an ambulance. You call the co-op.
See, hamster man, this is what we have to deal with.
I can't bring these fuckers anywhere.
Yep.
So we have nice things.
Yes.
Very much so.
So there were tons of movies that came out this year.
Not really. Yeah. I mean, you put on the
All right, let me count.
525,600 movies.
If you know, things about me, a ton is 2,000. So 2,000 movies had to come out last year for you to be right.
Oh, I don't know. I think it was more than half.
Yeah, most of the movies that came out sucked.
Yeah, true.
But
a lot of bad stuff comes. A lot of straight to DVD comes out.
Sure. We'll talk about the worst of in a little bit. But with so many of them coming out, I'm sure that there are some that were kind of swept under the rug that more people should have seen. So
I know one.
Oh,
what do you think is one of the most underrated films of 2011? And since have you ever done a podcast before, Hamster Man?
This would be my first.
Virgin!
Virgin! Fuck the cherry! Oh!
Hamster Man.
Get the balloon!
Why don't you go first? What's a movie that more people should have seen that you thought was amazing?
Let's see. Amazing. I don't know if this is just me not really hearing about a lot of other people talking about it, or if it really did get seen by a lot of people, and I just just wasn't in the loop. But I'm gonna go with Super 8.
Super 8 was really good. I was very impressed with that. So
yeah, but I kind of agree with him. I didn't get to see it because there was just so much going on. But I wanted to see it, but
yeah.
I was kind of afraid of what was going on with the movie. But
AMC really didn't do too much with it. They sent it over to Hollywood Hits our way.
Yeah. And we can't fit in those damn seats.
No. No. If you're a tall person, you can't fit in the seats because there's not enough leg room.
And apparently a lot of young kids don't know what Super 8 actually is. They don't understand why the title was so significant to the movie.
Right, so, Hamster Man, explain a little bit about what Super 8 means for the little kiddies who I hope aren't really listening to this show.
And if you are,
for the many kiddies that are hopefully not listening to this right now. Super 8 is referring to the kind of camera that one would shoot a movie with, especially, if you were a youngster back in the old days.
8mm.
Yes. 8mm. That's the way we did it. Well, not the way we did it, because I was 2M, there, but you know what I mean.
Yes. You see, I had the high 8, and now we have the DV.
Well, see, when I go to shoot things, I prefer at least a 9mm.
I used to use the Fisher-Price PXL 2000 that took it on cassette tapes. Oh yeah!
Oh my god!
I'm old.
I actually remember that. Yeah, very briefly, I remember that.
The only crappy part was you have to get chromium dioxide tapes, whatever the hell that meant, cassette tapes. So I'd go to radio show and go, "Excuse me, can I get a chromium dioxide tape?" Wasn't
that? That just sounds scary.
The Radio Shack was awesome.
Yes.
You went to get all your computer stuff.
Back in the day, that and Egghead software.
And Armatron. You remember Radio Shack used to have that thing, Armatron? It would just be this big claw that had holes and you could pick stuff up with it.
Yes. Back when old people ruined it. Yep. Back before old people ruined it.
Now it's a ghost story.
Yes. So what was it about Super 8 that you thought was just fantastic?
It's really about not only the movie was great, written by J.J. Abrams, directed by Steven Spielberg.
No, it was directed by Abrams as well.
Yes. It kind of went back to Spielberg's roots and added a real J.J. Abrams kind of flavor to it.
Had
a
Goonies feel to it at times, just the way it came together. It had the heart of Spielberg. It's kind of hard to even watch it and not think that he directed it. It was such a good homage to him.
Exactly. Yes. I really think they made a good team.
I agree.
Are you glad that it didn't end in a church?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good movie.
Definitely.
Let's see. Anvil.
Yes.
What do you think was a very underrated film for 2011?
Warrior.
Oh.
Really?
Really?
Not a lot of people went to see the movie.
I agree.
I know the three of us went to see it.
I thought it was pretty good. At first I thought it was going to be like just an MMA version of The Fighter, but it really wasn't.
But myself as a fighter, I can appreciate how they actually took the time to actually make the fights actually look real. And what a lot of people don't realize is that 90% of the guys that were actually fighting are real live fighters. So they were really punching each other during this movie.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
Oof. Plus the story behind it was just a really good one. Nick Nolte. He plays a really good drunk. We've all seen the mugshots to prove it.
Yes.
I don't want to preempt one of my later answers, but I couldn't agree with you more. I love that movie. Great, great effing movie.
Right.
Yes, well, it's also a later answer for me as well.
It's also a loosely based, kind of like American version. It's because it has a... There's a Korean movie out there called Crying Fist. And it's very much like that. And that was the first thing that popped in my mind when I saw that, because it's pitting two different people on two different sides of the track. Ex-fighter, homeless guy, and criminal that goes to prison. They both learn how to get back into boxing. And they all they match up with each other at the end.
So. I love that, you know, the brother story that comes into it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way the ending got, I mean...
Yeah.
It touched me.
But also the...
In a very appropriate way. Not like
yes, please.
Not like a priest or somebody that ex coach from Penn State or something.
Or Syracuse.
Anyways, yeah.
He doesn't get goosed.
But anyways,
okay. Point to the doll and show me where Warrior touched you.
He touched me here, and he put something
the
here.
Anatomically correct doll.
And I still feel
it.
I just think of that skit with Nick Swartzen with the oh yeah baby. Show me an adult where you want me to touch you.
All right, anyways, but I had to say that with this movie, I can't believe they were able to have Kurt Angle play a Russian. That was hilarious.
I am all American wrestler. I even gold medal in Olympics. I now turn Russian.
He's now apparently Yakov Smirnov.
And what's his name? The guy from Mad TV and also for The Hangover. Both Hangover movies, I can't remember what it is. He was playing the Joe Rogan type of character, right?
Yeah.
The commentator?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now. See, I'm having the brain farts as I usually have when we're recording.
Queef!
So, Issues Guy, what about you? What's like a film that you felt was very underappreciated this year?
Well, there's a couple, but the main movie that I think doesn't get enough talk about that I really, really loved was The Devil's Double.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, I really love that movie. I don't even want to talk about it too much because if anybody out there hasn't seen it, it's a true story, but it's that age old tale of, you know, the prince and the pauper sort of, there's a feeling of that in it. But then outside of that, there's just so much amazing graphic material. And I've always been someone who had a morbid, not in a necessarily good way of thinking they're great people, but had a fascination with the Hussein brothers, with association with the Olympics, how to do with my interest in sports and hearing the stuff they did to some of the Iraqi Olympic people.
Yeah.
And this movie just, it showed off Dominic Cooper, as an actor, so amazing, and it was just crazy and insane and intense the whole time, and it was like it never took the foot off the effing pedal. It just kept going, and I don't know. It's just worth checking out if you've never seen it, because I don't think a lot of people, when I talk about it, when I mention it, not a lot of people go, oh yeah, I've seen that movie. A lot of people go, what? Okay. So if anybody out there hasn't seen The Devil's Double, check that out. And so yeah, that's my answer.
All right, sounds like a really interesting movie, and it did sound like it had to do with about like body doubles, sort of like how Hussein had it back when he was a dictator of Iraq.
Yeah, but in almost the biggest thing it does is it shows you the kind of power and fear that they put in on their people, that the guy just got put in such a no-win situation that, that once he just basically got seen and was recognized as someone that could look like him, his life was over and there's just nothing he could do. And just the manipulation and the way that just you had no hope of escaping in a way. And it's hard to – I mean, it's easy to – comicize the Husseins in retrospect of what's happened and everything like right. that. And
I know that Sacha Baron Cohen's coming out with that Dictator movie that's kind
yes,
of making fun
that
of him.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, everyone check out The Devil's Double.
All right. Well, for my pick, there's a little movie starring Ed Helms that I felt was funnier than The Hangover Part 2. It was called Cedar Rapids.
Don't say that.
And he played this man representing an insurance company at this, like, convention in Cedar Rapids. And this is a guy who has never left his town, so he's, like, super excited about seeing someplace other than his own home.
How excited was he?
He was excited about the pool smelling of chlorine, thinking it was, like, Aruba.
He was titillated.
Yes, because Aruba smells like chlorine and cheap beer.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Classic palm trees.
But it also had John C. Reilly as another insurance man he befriends, and they just go on these, like, I want to say crazy adventures, but they have, like, these crazy mini parties in between the convention and just raise hell at all these different areas of Cedar Rapids. And it had such a great cast in there, including, like, Anne Hesh, Rob Corddry, Michael Malley, Thomas Lennon from Reno 911, Sigourney Weaver, and it's one of those films that it's not going to win any awards. No
definitely
question.
Not.
But it's one of those comedies that surprises you at every turn as to what they manage to pull out. And it really showcases how good of an actor, not just a comedic actor, but a regular actor, Ed Helms really is. If anyone hasn't seen that film, I really suggest going to see it.
We'll take it under advisement and put it on the list.
All right.
Very long list.
Panda.
Believe it or not, in this, if we do our favorite or best movie, my answer is going to be the same.
That's the same
movie,
so.
And I honestly believe that an underrated movie that I think people didn't pay a lot of attention to was Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't hear. No yes. one talked about Drive. And I was like, I think I saw it like several weeks after it had already been like in theaters. And I was blown away.
Yep. I'm going to be talking more about that in a little bit. But explain why you felt it was like...
Well, I mean, I kind of walked into it thinking it was going to be, you know, like a Gone in 60 Seconds, like a whole lot of action sequences. And I mean, it did have those, but there was a silence that made it really artsy on top of that.
You got to know the characters.
I think, honestly, who was the lead in that? I'm trying to remember his name.
Ryan Gosling.
I think he maybe spoke maybe 20 times in the entire film. Mm-hmm. And it goes to show that maybe we should just stop talking and just drive.
Well, that's how the old movies were, though. There wasn't a lot of talking.
Well, for one, they had to learn how to get recordings to match video for a while there.
Yes.
Please would walk out.
Some newer movies are actually really good at the lead actors not speaking, because some of the greatest performances I've seen from actors who don't speak are just Rob Lowe's and The Stand when he didn't speak, or Kurt Russell in Soldier. Didn't speak, but that was probably one of his greatest.
Or Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men.
Yes. Yeah,
one of the greatest people for doing very little to no talking at all. Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And he's one of the greatest there ever was.
Well, I'm just saying that I think at a lot of movies where we have these writers who are like, I can write better than the next writer. They try to overtop themselves, and now you've got someone who's like, I don't need to write. Visually, I can represent exactly what I want to without having to utter a word, and here's how I'm going
to
do it.
Right.
So the concept that we're trying to get by here is actions speak louder than words.
Yes,
so
and
more
in that
or less,
movie, it definitely
if
did.
If this person's going to be quiet in the movie, he's going to blow shit up.
Oh, yeah.
or kill someone.
Or things are going to blow up around
or,
him.
Or he's going to curb stomp somebody in an elevator, just like Ryan Gosling did.
Like, I really wish I could have sat down with Ryan and be like, what was the first thing you said after this movie was over? I'd like to know what his thoughts are, because I'm like, for someone who's been in The Notebook, who was like, I can't quit you, it's raining, I have to do you. And then to be in a movie where
I'm going to make me clap. Thanks.
But I'm just saying.
Besides the Sprint commercial, thanks, asshole.
I know, thanks.
I mean, I'm just saying he was typecast as a heartthrob, and now I'm glad to see that there are directors who are willing to paint him in a different filter and give him a chance to shine somewhere else, just like what they did with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so, sure. So I mean, I think a lot of people weren't willing to give this a chance, and I think they'd be really surprised and would thoroughly enjoy it if they did.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I can't agree with you more on that.
Stop agreeing.
JC Sargent.
We can wrap this up really quickly because...
I disagree. Because Sorry.
Well, the issues guy totally took my idea, and I'm like, it was Devil's Double for me, because I thought that was also quite as good, because the movie poster itself is actually pretty cool, and that's when I saw it on the Xbox Live, kind of like Zune, coming soon, movie trailers, and I checked that out, and I'm like, because I remember hearing about that, and I know that, like, you know, Saddam and Uday and...
Kusa,
and his brother, they all had doubles and stuff, and had that, and Dominic Cooper was the person who played young... Latif or something. Yeah, he played Latif, the guy becomes Uday's body double. But the thing is, he played Dominic Cooper in Captain America. He played the young, Tony Stark's father.
Oh yeah, that guy. Okay, I know who exactly you're talking about.
Yeah,
whoever Tony Stark's father was in the Captain America movie, that was him too. And I thought that that guy played a great job in that movie. Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, even though it wasn't just a comic book movie, but no, it's just seeing him play a fide or a body double in that, and just having that in there, it's just it's frightening. You could almost see it as a switch. Like you could almost see if you could catch Uday in a bad day and kill him and just take over and pretend that you're him and be like, oh no, he ran away or I killed him and stuff. And just
honestly, if I was in that situation, that'd be your only option.
Yes.
It's like if I'm in Europe during the Nazi thing, it's easy to say, but I'm one of the guys that gets shot because I'm going to be like, yeah. One or the other. I'm gonna, you know, charge. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna get killed. I'm gonna get myself killed.
Yeah, because he wrote Latif wrote the book that the movie is based on.
Yep.
So I thought that was pretty cool, and it's just it's an interesting, awesome premise because Uday was known as a sado, kind of like a pretty much like heavy drug user, like, you know, drinking all the time. Large weapons, just
kind of like Caligula.
Yeah, pretty much like that. And that guy had to do everything, and he had to give it up and just do everything for that.
Yeah.
So Caligula minus a lot of the porn scenes.
Yeah.
And the guy with the ass on his chest. That was just that,
minus a few. Yes.
Okay, Blahnik.
I want to say Limitless.
Yeah, that was my second choice for most underrated film.
Bradley Cooper. It?
Yeah,
with Bradley Cooper, because Bradley Cooper, I know he was in The Hangover in part 1 and 2.
Woo!
He's in A-Team. In A-Team. He was brilliant in A-Team. I just think that he's an underrated actor altogether because he's done so many great movies.
He played a gay guy in the chick flick movie, Valentine's Day.
He's a sexy...
Besides that, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's fine.
He's another good example of what Panda was saying about that movie does great job at playing him against type. And that's what shows an actor's ability when he can play the cocky sort of guy,
big giant douchebag guy that could still be cool somehow.
But also, The Wedding Crashers too.
He has depth and he has a lot of range as an actor. I think he could do a lot of great things.
For him to play this character, he's originally just a writer, and he's just, you know, he's bottom of the barrel. He's that writer that has gotten the biggest writer's block ever.
Yeah.
And he's stuck in the worst place. He's stuck in a shitty little apartment, and he's trying to make ends meet. And then he meets his ex-brother-in-law on the street, and he gives him this pill. And it's a clear pill, but what happens is it turns on, from what they're saying in the movie, you get 20% of your brain that you're really working. Like, all of us right now apparently are using 20% of our brain.
Or less.
Thanks, Anvil. Anyways.
Well, then next time, blog!
Yeah, okay. But for the most part, this opens up the 100% that you need, but also it has side effects to it because you have to keep taking it. Otherwise, you know, you'll end up either like getting worse or you'll end up dying because of
how blacking out for weeks and months at a time or something like that. And...
Well, you have to trim it because he ended up having, he was taking like 2 pills a day and he ended up blacking out. And of course, somebody gets murdered and it looked like he almost did it, but... There was also another guy that was following him that was murdering people and stuff because
spoilers if you haven't seen it.
Well, no, just
spoiler alarm.
But if you do have Netflix right now, you are able to watch it.
Oh my god, I'm totally gonna watch it. Later.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can just go Netflix.com.
Yeah. So you can go and totally watch it right off there. But next
it earlier.
2 weeks. Yeah. 2 week free trial.
But for the most part, you know, Limitless I believe was, you know, It's a great movie, has a great premise in it. Hell, it has Robert De Niro in it. It's a damn good movie.
Well, just because you have Robert De Niro in a movie doesn't make it great. I mean, look at New Year's Day.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. But this was
That was Rocky and Bullwinkle.
De Niro actually doing something relevant.
Let me just stand up for De Niro and say I like the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie because it was made specifically for those who watched the cartoon and knew all the jokes. That's why I loved it, because, that's this.
They connected all of their dots.
Yes.
But he played an awesome, fearless leader.
Yes.
He is fearless leader.
Yeah.
So.
He's Robert De Niro.
I feel bad that Howard Stern made Jason Alexander apologize for that movie live.
Wow.
But getting back to the movie, I feel like this was one of the underappreciated movies of the year because it went into theaters and I don't think it got any real good play or, you know...
What came out? Do we know what came out like the week of that? Because something must have overshadowed it.
You probably have Harry Potter.
It might have been.
You know what? I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay, we just talked about underrated. What do you think was the best movie of the year? And I want to go first because Panda already mentioned it. Drive is one of those movies that I don't know how many Oscars it's gonna get. However, I feel like it'll be a real crime if Albert Brooks doesn't get an Oscar for this movie.
I know!
He played one of the best villains I have ever seen.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd even really call him a villain because there was nothing sinister about him, but he was like an active force of destruction.
Yes.
So, you know, you kind of feel like, man, he's going to go and do this, but it's not like, F you, bro, and, like, gut to the, you know, like, slash to the face.
It's what he had to do.
Yeah.
Like what he does to Bryan Cranston, who also did a phenomenal job.
Which was a surprise character in this movie. I didn't know, actually, Bryan Cranston was going to be in Drive.
Yeah.
But when he goes in, he just basically, he's like, I'm sorry, I just have to do this, you've been too much of a fuck-up, and he just offs him.
Yeah, that's it.
No, not
spoiler
even that.
Alert,
no,
he
just slashed him.
He slashed him. It was done. He walked away from him, and it, like it was nothing. It was that impressive.
Can I just make everybody laugh for one quick minute?
No.
This is actual movies here. I went to the box office results for the year, and they showed the 90 movies that have come out.
No, I've got a 213 on Wiki.
They actually give the prices. The last movie, which is Restless, made a total of $162,000 all year. In this past week, they made $18.
That's awesome.
The next guy who made $118.
I made this week.
Are we doing best movie or best independent movie?
I think best movie because we did talk about underappreciated.
Oh, so well, my one thing I should have went with my. My independent movie is my most underappreciated movie.
All right.
But that's okay.
But
I'll still go with my best movie.
But I will say this. This was the type of movie that knew how to make you jump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They didn't give you any of the normal cues that you would expect to hear in a movie to know something's going to happen.
There wasn't any
action.
There wasn't any dun, dun, dun.
No.
Boom. No, it was just like, oh, there goes our head.
Like literally when that scene happened, I was like, okay, I'm like, if this is gonna be classy, I'm like, we're gonna have a sniper on the other side of another building, just take her out quietly. And I see this guy walking, I'm like, bitch, there's a dude with a shotgun outside. You didn't see him? It's daytime. Hello.
I love those movies where, you know, you see the guy hop into the elevator, standing there, there's somebody else in the corner, and all of a sudden it opens up and the person's just laying dead. It's like, what the fuck?
Oh, what did they call him in Sin City? This wasn't like the salesman. The guy who would, like,
yes.
Or something like that. He'd go and kill people. Like, it was always quiet.
Josh Hartnett.
Yeah. He played it. Played him.
But, yeah. Drive isn't just one of my favorite films of 2011. It's one of my favorite films of all time.
I think it's a strong contender. Ooh. I would say that.
Okay. Let's see that.
JC Sargent.
Potato.
Yes. To prevent anybody from choosing me, I chose one that, a very independent, awesome movie. And all I had to say is, Shut Up, Crime! With The Super. Anybody see The Super? With Rainn Wilson?
The Super with Joe Pesci?
No, not the... it's not The Super.
Did that come out in the 90s?
It's just Super. Oh. It's an independent movie. It's based on Rainn Wilson becoming a real-life superhero.
Awesome.
The Crimson Bolt. And he runs around and... His magical weapon is a wrench.
Actually, I just saw that the other day. I was kind of scared of this movie.
We watched it at work because we thought it was supposed to be a comedy.
So it was kind of like a weird, like an uncomfortable comedy, I have to say. Because
it's so sad.
Okay, when he's standing in line at the movies, and the guy that was the big total douchebag that cuts in front of him with the girl, and he goes, hello, I've been waiting here this whole time. Fuck off! That's all he says to him, and he just goes, and then he walks away, he just goes and smashes the guy in the head with the wrench, and blood's just everywhere, and just like, I was like... I don't know where to laugh or
it's
just
odd,
like
weird,
turn the channel.
There's moments where he's so emotional. It definitely showed Rainn Wilson's like range because he was like he'd be dumb.
Rain's range.
Yeah, Rain's rage. Try saying that three times fast. But how he's able to like deep down and get like so self-depressed and sorry, or like the fact that like there was a montage where he sees God, but there's tentacles and all this other stuff, and they're all attacking him. Yeah, it's very anime-esque, and he sees Nathan Fillion as a superhero. And
wait, like, is he Nathan Drake?
No, he's not. He's very much like Bible Man.
I'd have to say another surprise actor.
Where's my penis? Yes.
Another surprise actor in this movie is Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
Wow, I'm not sure why Kevin Bacon would do this movie, but he did this movie as the bad guy.
They have to keep the degree game going.
Yeah. But one of my favorite points of this movie, just beyond its sickening kind of like violence and just straight out like weird humor, was Ellen Page in a like superhero costume, and her costume was bolty.
Yeah.
And there was two particular points where when she first comes out with the bolty costume, she starts like posing and stuff like that, and like. And then when she gets, like, really super horny and wants to have sex with the Crimson Bolt, and she's like, put on the mask! He's like, oh, I can't do this! And he's, like, freaking out.
Yeah, he's like, I'm married! Stop this!
And she's pretty much raping him.
And then, yeah, she basically raped him.
Yeah.
But all Juno around, 2!
It's been, yes.
Crimson Bolt rises again!
But I enjoyed that movie thoroughly, and it's got a very weird kind of, Super Jail kind of intro to the movie. I enjoyed very much, so it's pretty cool. So I give that a thumbs up.
Okay, Hamster Man, what's your pick for movie of the year?
Oh, that is a tough question. Let's see here.
It's not Justin Bieber, is it?
No.
Justin Bieber makes the same.
No, but I was going to bring that up on our next topic.
Baby, I think I have a baby. He doesn't. He took the test.
That's why I said thanks. Topical. I would say he did.
Okay, you know, I think I'm probably... this may just be because I very recently saw it, and it's going to sound very... I don't know. But I really, really, really enjoyed The Muppets.
Yes!
Oh, you cocksucker!
That was close. That was close to that one.
I almost made that movie of the year.
That's all right. I made it mine. My favorite
movie. That really, really, really great movie.
Am I a man or am I a Muppet?
I love the Flight of the Conchords feel to the music because Brett wrote a lot of the music from Flight of the Conchords. So
yes.
So there's an amazing feel. You get that same sort of feel at sometimes. Even the staging of the way they do some of the scenes is like Flight of the Conchords-ish. I love it. I love it. Great movie. Great interaction.
And Flight of the Conchords? Wow.
Yes.
And I actually think that the Mutt movie could have been a very underrated movie because fucking Twilight Part 1 beat it in its box office and it's on its weekend release.
Yeah.
The only issue I have with the movie, it's only a small one, and it has nothing to do with my enjoyment or thinking how cool it was. It's just that I'm a little at the point where I'm kind of sick of Jack Black and I wish that was somebody else. And
who would you have rather seen play?
Steve Martin.
You know?
It's been a while for Steve Martin anyways.
But sure. But somebody like him, somebody, Bill Murray, even though he would have been...
Oh my God, Bill Murray would have been perfect.
Yes. So,
just somebody different than who it was earlier in the movie with Animal. I know it connected to that's how they knew where he was. It's not that he did a bad job or took anything away from the movie. In fact, the times when they were torturing him or something.
That was great. You're ruining a great song! Me, boo!
For some reason, I kept wanting it to be... one of the older guy, one of those older type dudes, like Bill. I kept seeing Bill Murray or Steve Martin in that part. I don't know why.
You know, but funny. I don't know if you've ever seen the episode of the Muppet Show with them, but Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, yeah.
Sure.
And Garble Gershwin.
I love 80s Robot. He's my favorite.
80s Robot was pretty awesome.
Where did 80s Robot come from, anyway?
It reminds me of this toy I had in the 80s called Omnibot, and it was just this little, like, it was almost like a remote controlled robot that you could program to get your get you things, and it was I think it was also featured in Rocky 4.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Hey,
Polly. Happy birthday, Polly.
You know which one it reminds me of is Rob, the old Nintendo robot.
Totally, thing. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob.
What the hell was that?
It's my ocarina, I'm sorry.
Wow. Did you just go back in time?
Yes, I did. I had to freeze time for a second and make it rain.
I'm gonna make it rain.
Animal, no play drums. Animal, adjusted.
Control.
Now, what do you think of this asshole over at Fox Business saying that the Muppet movie was promoting socialism?
Yeah!
What?
Male socialism? No, I was kidding.
They were saying, oh, it's about going against oil companies and going against the right and
so
communism.
Was Jeff.
How the hell is that?
Oh, man.
It's like I had no idea! The person who thought of it was a retard.
I only think that would make sense if the Muppets, like, occupied their old museum. If they had occupied.
Occupy theater.
And they're all sitting in their tents.
And they're wearing a Mick Lennon t-shirt. Maybe, just maybe, that might be
coming. I don't think
so. And then Lisa Simpson walks out with her big brace head, still playing the guitar.
Yep, yeah. Someone has to be doing music, that's true.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't
we all
think
know
so.
That Simpsons
so drama. Everyone's going to find something to gripe about.
Yep, it's Fox. What do you expect?
I saw them do a news story on the... oh gosh, what's that? What's that chat function with the DS? What was that called?
Chat roulette.
It was the with the DS. It was built a PictoChat.
PictoChat. Yeah.
It was a. It was
penises on my PictoChat. It's like, hi everybody, penis.
They were like saying that PictoChat was a method that rapists could talk to your child.
They said the same thing about Animal Crossing, too.
They said that about glory holes. Oh, wait, that's kind of true.
I hate to break it to people. If rapists want to get to your children, they're going to get there. They're going to find any way to do it, man.
Yeah. So hide your kids and hide your wife.
Hide your kids. Hide them now.
Stop sending your kids to college.
Keep them out there. Keep them everybody to church. Up in here.
Lock them in your basements and feed them Tang.
Send them out to the Mongolians.
They use
by Mongolians. You're a hero for last time. Okay.
Oh, man.
So, Anvil, your movie of the year.
Okay, I need to change things for a minute. Considering I forgot... my movie, like, I'm kind of mixed up in my big old head of mine. My movie of the year is Warrior.
You big.
My underappreciated movie was To Kill an Irishman. So I'm going to jump back for a minute. Considering, you know, I got mixed up in my big old head. Too many blows to the head.
We're going
That's
back
what
in
she
time.
Said.
I'm training.
Yowzer.
Snap.
Hey, she gave me two made blows to my head. Okay. Thank you. So, To Kill an Irishman is actually a true story. You know, basically what it is you have a mobster, and they're trying to kill him. It's a really awesome movie. It takes you back to, like, the 60s and 70s. I'm sorry, Harvey. And J.C. Sargent pulls out the pedo bear for Penn State. Hey, where's the Syracuse one?
Yes, To Kill an Irishman, based on a real Irishman.
Who they try to kill?
Wait. Can we do a spoiler alert?
Yes.
He dies.
It came full circle.
Yeah, well, basically, they start killing off everybody. And he had this really awesome car, which I kind of love old cars. Old American Muscle, the sexiest cars ever made. And he's sitting there, and there's some kids playing. He's like, run on home, kids. Run on home. I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, oh, no. He's going to die. Mom's like, he's not going to die. I'm like, Mom, he just told the kids to leave. He's going to die.
And you hear the classical music.
And of course, like any other mom, he's not going to die. It's going to be a happy ending.
Shot through the heart. Now you're too late.
He hops in the car, closes the door. I'm like, told you he died, Mom. He just blew up. The car's on fire.
That's what happens when you eat at Taco Bell.
That's true.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
Oh, yes.
And truthfully, I love these older movies that are about, you know, have the truth to it. Because
what about 50 Dead Men Walking? That was another great Irish.
That was a really good one, too.
Another great Irish movie.
I miss the old movies where the guy would pull out the little six-shooter and kill the person with it. Forget about coming out with an Uzi. It took talent to kill a man. It's like, I got six bullets. I better kill you with them. Instead of coming out, I have a clip of 200 rounds. I'm just going to walk to your front door, knock on it. When I hear something, I'm going to blow away your wall. And then you killed the cat.
Where'd the cat go?
It's like, you know,
I killed your fucking cat because I thought it would bring closure to our relationship.
It's like, hey, honey, did you see the cat? Oh, let me go look. Oh, wait, there's knocking at the door.
Yeah, just as
we had
Taco
Bell before
that.
The assassination.
The cat's still alive.
Wait, I still hear something in the inside. Bring out the heavy artillery.
Oh God!
Sorry, I tried to keep the sound effect here longer, but it scratched me.
Yeah.
Hey, bitch! You hear your dog?
Yeah.
Exterminate!
Smartphones making people dumber every day.
Okay.
Hooray!
Why do I have to remember anything when I got a smartphone?
Wait. I heard she has a plant inside the house.
Exterminate!
Please send that to me.
Yeah, I need it too. I'm going to set that for you guys. Every one of you will now have that in my phone.
Okay. Issues guy.
Yes.
As soon as this anvil calms down, your pick for movie of the year.
Well, that's a tough question. It's another tough question that there's a lot of movies I really, really love this year. And I got to give a little bit of a shout out, even though it's, well, I wouldn't call it my favorite movie of the year, but I really enjoyed Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
I thought it was fantastic.
I thought it was really awesome. That was close to one of my movies of the year, just because I thought it was the best of. I thought that the bookends were the two best. The first one and the last one, for my taste, were the best.
I especially like the part where Voldemort, played by Ralph Fiennes, just goes, Harry Potter, you're an inanimate fucking object.
Yeah, but it's really an interesting thing. The other movie that I really thought was Warrior. I especially because of the relationship between Nick Nolte and Thomas Hardy. I mean, I guess I'm just a huge, huge Thomas Hardy fan, from Bronson to even Star Trek Nemesis, which I like a lot better than a lot of other Trek people do, just because of his performance and working off scenes with Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, actually, that's a scary thing. They've been playing a lot of that Nemesis. I'm like, holy shit, it's Tom Hardy. I do have to agree with you. That part when Nick Nolte gets broken and steps off the wagon and gets drunk again, and he's in the actual, like...
Moby Dick mode.
He's listening to Moby Dick, and he's so friggin' plastered because his son yelled at him and told him to go, like, fuck himself, basically. And he goes and, like, you know, he's, like, repeating everything, and he's saying that, you know, he's gonna sink the fucking ship and everything like that. And if we don't stop him, we're all going to die or something. And it was just so powerful.
It just proved to me back why Nick Nolte, I mean, all the drunk stuff and all the silly character of himself he became, he's an awesome freaking actor, and he can just pull it off. He's great.
I remember the first movie I saw him in was Blue Chips. And this was back before, the only reason why I watched it was because I was a big Shaquille O'Neal fan.
Oh, yeah.
And this just showcased to me, even at such a young age for me, how good of an actor Nick Nolte really was.
Yeah, he has a lot of range. But ultimately, my favorite movie of the year, and it's just the experience, was sitting in a theater all alone, being stuck in Philadelphia while a friend of mine was at a party, and I didn't know anyone in Philadelphia, so I wandered into a theater and I saw Limitless. And I did not know what to expect. All I knew about, I knew what I knew about Bradley Cooper. And I went in there and saw that movie, and my freaking mind was blown. It was my favorite movie I saw this year, because I wasn't expecting anything from it, and it just, visually, the way they depict how the drug works is just so perfect. Having an interesting past when it comes to the experimenting of psychedelic drugs and mind-altering drugs, this movie did an excellent job of actually showing what it's like sometimes to feel that way and to see things going crazy all over the place and seeing things come together. It did it better than Sherlock Holmes did it, and Sherlock Holmes did a similar type thing at times where you size up a room and figure out all the places and all the ways to get out of a situation.
Like how he's going to beat up this guy.
How he's going to get out of this room when he's trapped, and it's not and just even the end and the way the end, the twist comes, and you just see that this guy never loses control.
Yeah,
it proved to me a lot about Bradley Cooper as an actor, and the way that a lot of movies did. I think Panda mentioned Leonardo DiCaprio earlier, and so when he started to break away from that norm, when right after I saw Titanic, I saw the movie The Beach, which just shows how dirty and crazy he can get as an actor. And this is a similar thing for Bradley Cooper. It just showed me so much of... He's just so cool and deep. I just want to have Bradley Cooper's babies. Sorry.
So you want to be like the Scott Pilgrim character to Lucas Lee?
Yes, exactly.
I can't believe I forget the Scott's gay roommate friend.
Wallace. I wish that movie had come out this year. I would have said that one.
I love that movie.
But yeah, Limitless was my favorite movie in a theater this year, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I know Hamster Man mentioned The Muppets. Is that your
pick? But obviously for different reasons. I love The Muppets probably as long as everyone in this room has loved The Muppets.
I mean...
Outside of Anvil.
Asshole. Yes.
No, I'm just kidding, actually. Anvil's the man.
And I thoroughly enjoyed the fact that, you know, even after Disney went and bought them, that they didn't try to strip them down and make them washed. Like, they gave them a whole new movie and made them relevant for us now, which I think is absolutely great. And I love the fact that, you know, Jason Spiegel, who we know was going to make his own Muppet, wanted to make his own Muppet musical and was working on that, I think, when he was doing Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, the draft thing.
He's like, I'm going to be the executive producer and be in all the big dance numbers and not dance once. Like, literally, he has all these professional dancers around him, and if you watch the movie, he starts the move, but he doesn't finish it. So they make all the other cuts around him, make it look like he's doing, and he's not. And I was laughing more at the fact that Amy Adams is dancing around this big hunk of a man, trying to make him look like he's made a single effort in a dance movement, which I thought was hilarious. So it's little Easter eggs like that really made this movie stand out. Not to mention, I did get to see it 10 days before everyone else got to see it.
Thanks to yours awesome. Truly.
Thanks to King Baby Duck. But yeah. So it is my favorite movie for that fact that they reinvented them, made them more relevant to us today, and gives us a reason to hold on to all of our Muppet t-shirts that I know I have in a closet in my house.
It really would have been bad if they'd done something like The Muppets Begin.
Oh, you know? God. And I'm actually really glad that they even broached the whole subject of Kermit and Piggy, because you all think that they lived happily ever after, and the fact that they didn't, I was like, ooh.
I love them.
And then that happened.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Oh, I was like, oh, he didn't commit, that fucking frog. I loved it. Absolutely.
Manpower.
And I gotta say, too, I love seeing Dave Grohl as the animal tribute.
Yeah, he was the best cameo in the movie. Cameo. David Grohl was awesome.
Yes.
Actually,
I've always felt that he was like a living, breathing anime character / Muppet.
I've got one of my friend's wife that she was on my drum set, and she did animal so fucking hilariously. Not that way, you sick fucker. Anyways.
What?
But anyways, she was, she has, like, the kind of, like, hair that he has. So when she goes into it, like, yeah, it's kind of scary watching it in motion. It's, yeah. Yeah, let's just put it that way.
Yes. Yeah.
But to say that Dave Grohl's in this, I don't know how I could see that now.
You have to.
Oh, great. Yeah.
He's only in it for
I've been dying to see it for a third time. So if you go, I will go.
Okay. Yes.
Coffee's done. Well,
yeah. My pacemaker is about to explode.
Hot pockets are ready.
Actually, that's my pacemaker. I'm sorry.
Okay. Just heating up a little bit.
All right. Finally, Blawanik, your pick for movie of the year.
Battle Los Angeles.
Really?
Really?
What?
Yeah, I found that actually probably to be the best movie. What? Jesus. Anvil, like, pointing his finger at me. I thought he was going to punch me in the face.
Intensely. Hey. Intensely pointing his finger at you.
I have a rule. I only punch someone in the face once a day.
I've gotten punched in the face by two people sitting in this room.
I didn't punch you in the face.
Yes, you did. Not anyways. Today. Well, not today, but you not did today. Punch him in the face. But for the most part, let's just put it this way. I felt that this movie was actually pretty damn good with, like, the concept that they try to put out there with, how an alien race just comes out of left field, basically. And I'm getting attacked here.
Just to let you know, Issues Guy and Hamster Man, Pan is trying to finger Blonic in the ear.
In the eye!
It's softer.
Even for his eye!
She's been watching way too many side of my head. Kinky videos.
You're going the opposite ocular of what sexual rape. Harassment ocular Panda rape. Usually tells you to do.
Hey, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, you might have heard of ocular rape. This. Be careful out there. There are people out there that are trying to fuck your eyes.
Hey, baby, you're so hot, I want to finger you in the eye.
Yeah,
be like, careful.
I want your eye to be
careful.
In your hole when I fuck it. Yes. I want you to see it coming, literally.
Let's let Blonic speak.
I think I'm done. I don't know what the hell else to say now.
Don't drink any liquid.
But anyways,
all
right. Right. Aaron Eckhart did a great job in this, and son of a bitch.
It's not me this time. No, why is this your movie of the year? Of the whole 364 and one-fourth days, why is this the movie you turn to?
Well, because of the fact that I, with my damn job holding me back from able to go to the movies and whatnot, I mean, yes, Drive easily could have been, like, you know, my favorite movie and whatnot.
Should have been.
Yeah, it should have been. But, you know, it was definitely a really damn good movie, but with Battle Los Angeles, I was looking for, you know, like another, you know, Starship Troopers movie. I have a fascination about, like, sci-fi military-type movies that it,
fascination.
It's... Not that kind of fascination. Not in kind of jerking off to fascination. I'm just saying that...
Fascination?
Fascination!
Help me? He's just going to... Thank you.
Whoa. He was in the Navy. They just call for help.
All right.
So what are you trying to say? You're attracted to me?
No! I thought you were saying that. But for the most part...
What?
Yeah, you. But for the most part, yeah, this movie was... I felt like this... It was kind of underappreciated at the same time, but I felt that this was probably one of the best movies for the year. for me, because it just, I wasn't able to go out there and see as many, like, I didn't get to see, like, the Fast Five, I didn't get to see Drive Angry, you know, a lot of the other movies that I was looking down the list on Wiki, and it just, it sucks, because it's like, you know, I wanted to go see the movie Real Steel, that probably would have probably...
I've heard it's actually another underrated movie. A lot of people are not going to give that any credit.
But for the most part, it's just, it feels like with this movie, they were able to take and, you know, give a concept of fighting. I mean, like, at their point, you know, you got Aaron Eckhart, he's the sergeant that's, you know, when he's doing his run on the beach, he thinks he's kicking ass to take a name, and there comes the group of the younger guys running by him, like... And they're already 5 miles down the beach just saying, see ya, you know, like, son of a bitch, I'm too old for this crap now.
Waka waka.
Didn't they do a movie like that several years ago with Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher?
Yep. Which I thought was a really good movie.
It was a Coast Guard movie.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, the whole being surpassed by the younger generation.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
I was just trying to break all Aaron Eckhart's records, though. Because, you know, he was cocky. And trying to make up for killing all of his swim meet guys in high school.
Wait, that's the other thing. Never mind.
That's Guardian. I was explaining the difference.
Yeah, but Aaron Eckhart wasn't in that.
No, that was Costner. And
yeah. Nah, I just got completely messed up.
It's all right.
But I knew what you were talking about.
I'm going to say 4 a.m. It's okay.
It's all right. Anvil just pulled an anvil.
But with Aaron Eckhart,
no,
you know.
No, I pulled a duck. I'm sorry.
Like, there was.
King, baby, dick.
Anyways, for the most part, it shows to go through this movie of, like, the character, he has to go through a lot of stuff because of the fact that the other guys heard a story that he left people behind, but he didn't leave people behind because those people he left behind told him to do it, and they sacrificed themselves. But it made it seem like he didn't do a damn thing.
Made him look like a douche.
Yeah, it made him look like the biggest douche, even though they said who was John Wayne at one point because he took down one of the alien ships.
So it made
with the gas station, of course.
So it made him into David Blaine?
Really?
No.
Anyway,
but for the most part, that was my favorite movie of
no,
the year.
No, I was thinking John Edwards. Movie. My bad. Wrong South Park reference.
It's way too late.
Way too late. It's gone.
But that was a really good movie. I love that movie, though.
Yeah, but how could you? When I said that, you said what?
No, I wouldn't.
I was trying to exactly.
Well, a monkey pointing the finger.
All right, ladies. And Panda.
I am an actual lady.
Yeah, well, that's why I had to say and Panda. So, you know,
to make me different from all the other ladies in the room. Exactly. Got it.
Yeah. Look, it was a really good movie. I wouldn't give it movie of the year, but it was a really good movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because, like I said, I haven't been able to get out to do much.
excuse me, ma'am. I was getting Redbox.
Yeah, that's Redbox.
I'm on unemployment and living with my
mom. I'm sorry, is Redbox code for something?
I'm in a van down by the rail.
Okay.
No, cool people who have money have Netflix. Poor people who can't afford Netflix get Redbox. You rent a DVD or some games for a day for like a dollar.
I know.
Video games are two. Funny, you want to know what the code word is? I, you know, invite a girl over, she brings some movies, and while I'm putting in her red box, I watch movies. There you go. There's your code word.
Okay.
So let's quickly move on to worst movie of 2011, which shit the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Issues guy. How about you go first on this one?
Oh, okay, but before because I always have to break rules, of course. I did want to add one little category in quickly that I wanted to tell you guys all about before, but I thought about it last night because I gotta give I also am poor, but you know I fortunately live with someone that does have Netflix, so I get to watch a lot of movies that way. But I watch a lot of serialized TV shows, and I'd say, and I almost answered for best movie of the year, the season of Breaking Bad or Sons of Anarchy, both serialized.
Sons of Anarchy, baby. Sorry.
Serialized TV dramas that I think, with story, put as much time and effort into as a movie, and that's all I want to say. And yep. Because I feel like I have to give those credits.
I gotta say, Kurt Sutter is a fucking genius.
But the worst movie of the year that I saw was clearly. It isn't even close. Was Jack and Jill? It was freaking.
You saw it?
What?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
I'm so
saw it online.
Did the president give you a Medal of Honor afterwards?
I stream all those all movies on a website illegally, so I can watch the movies in the theater. You know, bootleg versions of it. And I like Adam Sandler movies. I can't lie. Even the more recent, crappier ones, like...
Just Go With It?
It's not that recent, but like Little Nicky and all... Like, I even like the bad ones. But this movie was just ridiculously horrible. It was the worst... It beat out Zookeeper as my worst movie of the year. that's the worst thing I can say about it. It beat out Zookeeper as my worst movie of the year. And I don't even want to talk about it. Awful accent. And I even like guys in drag. I like that. I dress in drag and I make voices. I'm a girl. See, but it's stupid. I'm not in a movie. Put me in a movie. Adam Sandler, you suck. You have no talent. I want to kill you. Sorry. I just wanted
to... It's on your show.
It was awful.
This guy's the man.
You should have heard him on the radio station.
Yes.
I'm just trying to be respectful and quiet because I can just talk. But it doesn't matter. I just want to bash my head against a brick wall when I watch this stupid movie. Jack and effing Jill. Sorry about the pop on my mic, but I'm getting pissed off now thinking about having to sit through it because the person I was with wanted to watch the end of the freaking movie because they're like, oh, I gotta see how it ends. How does Adam Sandler put his on and have sex with himself? I don't care.
What happens to Al Pacino?
And Al Pacino's in it. In Al Pacino, they dug Al Pacino up from some grave. They brought him some drunk bender. Something happened, and I don't know what they did.
They had
videotape of Al Pacino pulling a Sandusky in the shower or something, and they had the movie. I don't know what the hell happened. Like the Water Boy or something. It's like, I really love the Water Boy. That's a great movie. Can I be in your movie?
Hey, look at that girl over there. She got a great ass.
She got a great ass. And you're right up in it.
Wow.
But anyways, that's my worst movie in the end. Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy rule.
Okay.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy.
Anvil, you wanted to go.
All right. Y'all are going to give me a really weird look for this one. The Justin Bieber movie.
Did you see it?
Fucking saw it, didn't you?
That is the context of this, is that we actually had to have seen
it. Absolutely.
Big sports-loving motherfucker.
Shut up. No, let me talk.
Your nephew?
Never say
Did you
never.
Bring a nephew or a little kid to that?
It was actually bootlegged.
Okay, fair.
Of course.
Well, okay.
And I didn't watch the whole thing. 5 minutes in, I actually vomited. because I was stuck at the house. My brother was babysitting, you know, my nephew and a couple other kids. And the girls brought over that movie. So I'm like, all right, I'll give it a chance. Because they're like, you have to give this movie a chance. They didn't tell me what it was. And then they gave me the...
Human centipede.
They said, be a man. All right. Fuck you.
No, continue.
So, I actually projectile vomited all over the wall, and I hit the floor, and I thought I was going to die. I crawled out of the room.
So, basically, you wanted to do this to it.
Exterminate!
Yes! And then I actually had to pay the girl's mother $5, because I removed the DVD from the player, ran out to my kitchen, turned on the burner, and set it on fire!
It didn't work.
I mean...
Never say never!
I do not recommend this unless you want to commit suicide, because this movie does that for you.
It was great.
Okay.
We watched that. It was awesome.
The second she came out and started singing, I'm like, this poor little girl. I mean, why does anybody put her in a movie? And then, about an hour later, I saw breaking news that she was running around the beach with no shirt on. She was actually arrested for indecent exposure.
Yeah.
The picture is that they actually have the black tape going across the nipple so we're not traumatized by her naked body.
Panda.
Oh, worst movie. Okay. Well, there are kind of two that kind of come to mind. One of them is a really girly movie that I doubt anyone else in this room has seen. And I'm really ashamed that I've actually paid $4 to watch it at home, called Something Borrowed. And I think it had Kate Hudson and Jennifer Goodwin, who's now on Once Upon a Time on ABC, which is actually a really good
that
series.
That was a great movie.
Oh, I man. Know. Something Borrowed was a piece of crap that I should have crapped on and mailed back to Netflix.
You know what? I had another one, but that, yeah.
But that one was horrible. But since no one's actually really seen that, I won't say that one. I'm actually going to say Bad Teacher.
Oh,
really?
Ooh. Yeah.
I was really disappointed by this movie. And I mean, and I'm a big Cameron Diaz fan.
And
I was
another Jason Segel movie.
Exactly. And he was probably one of the only funny things in the movie.
Here, hold my balls.
Like, literally. And he didn't even get that much airtime in the movie. And it was all Cameron Diaz trying to be sexy. And I'm like, sadly, in HD where you could see every wrinkle on her 40-something-year-old face.
I need to get my
boob job. She
hasn't
been sexy since Charlie's Angels 2.
Yeah. She's not sexy anymore. And this was her way of trying to be like, yes, I am. And I'm like, no.
This is what Animal and I said when we saw the Green Hornet. She hasn't aged well.
Wait, Jusen?
Yes.
Yeah,
she is. She played the secretary.
No, in Green... Oh, yes, she did. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the other blonde, Gwyneth Paltrow, who was in the Iron Man movies. Wrong one.
She still looks pretty
yes,
good.
She
yeah.
does.
Yeah,
she
good. Yeah.
But she did Country Strong, so gotta take some points off
yes.
of that. And she thinks she can sing.
Yes.
That's
I can see it now. Honey, can I be in the Coldplay album? Honey, can I be in the new Coldplay album? Honey, can I be in the new Coldplay
album?
And
he's like, no. He's like, have my babies. You can do this movie. It's got country in it.
You can do the kitchen stuff, lady. Hello.
But no, so I'm going to say Bad Teacher. She's fallen from her pinnacle point. And Sally, it's going to happen to some of these actresses. And I mean, we've got other actresses who have come back out and have really kind of brought their sexy back, like Natalie Portman in Black Swan. She brought it back
and
intensified.
Sexy back. What?
And what she wore in Your Highness?
I didn't see Your Highness.
She finally washed off that stink of the Star Wars prequels.
Yes.
You know, it took a while.
It
took
did.
A while from
she
the professional. From when she started on The Professional, I really thought she had something. I thought she was awesome, cute. Like
what
a good
do you
actress.
Say about The Professional, Panda?
I wanted him to do her. I didn't care that it was pedophilia.
Me too!
I wanted him to lay her down and give her the pipe.
Wow.
I was like,
do
it!
Closure. I need a sequel that says that they've been doing it since
well,
right after them.
Because he, like, died. So I wish they would do a sequel where she was, like, being badass and, like, killing people in, like, his honor.
She basically...
But, like, I wanted to do that when I was 11. I didn't even know what sex was, but I wanted to do it to that thing on him.
Isn't that what the anime kite... was kind of like...
It was, but that was animated. I'd love to see her do something like
that,
though.
A badass motherfucker right there.
Yes.
But regardless, Cameron Diaz, just stop.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, and now I have to, just to kind of watch the accident and walk by it.
To be who should stop, Nicolas Cage and...
Cameron Diaz. Just put them in a movie together.
I'm surprised they didn't put her in Season of the Witch, because that was a pretty bad movie.
Yeah, that was
not that good.
Season of the Witch. But no, Bad yes. Teacher was my worst movie of the year.
Blahnik.
My turn again?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turns happen.
Are you even asking Hamster Man anything?
Yeah. Did the hamster go yet?
He's going to... apparently, he might be going last in this
round. No, second to last.
Okay.
No, I'd have to say Your Highness. That was probably one of the worst movies I got to see this year, and I felt that with the comedy action-packed stars,
wait,
that they could have had a big,
let him
you
get
know.
His reasons out.
Shut the fuck up.
You saw three movies all year in the three categories. That one got stuck. That's not cool.
Anyways, with the concept of the movie, it was just bad all around. I mean, I thought Danny McBride and, you know, the whole
James
cast.
Franco.
Yeah, James Franco. They could have made that movie so much funnier.
They should have put Franco in the dress.
Yes, that's true.
No, because it would probably look pretty normal on.
Or give him a Japanese love pillow.
There we go!
Fairy Rock!
I will say, though, I was laughing my ass off when James Franco attempted to sing in this movie.
Actually, you know what the sad part is? I was really hoping that he would sing in this. A lot of people don't know is he is a singer.
Yeah, of course he is.
There's a video of him at a family thing, and he's got a magnificent voice, and nobody's actually ever utilized it.
And I felt like this movie was, like, a waste of Zooey Deschanel's talents, too.
Well, actually, most stuff that she does is a waste of her awesome talents.
I don't know, I liked her in The Happening.
I love her in New
Don't
Girl.
Don't mention M. Night Shyamalan or rap in front of him.
I didn't.
Who's having an aneurysm?
Oh my god, devil.
Okay, I'm not bleeding. I'm good.
But
No, I'm serious. What was it? I saw The Village. I got home and I said, oh my god, I paid $10 for that fucking movie. And I go and wipe my hand across my nose like this, and one of my friends goes, dude, you're bleeding. And I went, what do you mean I'm bleeding? Holy shit. Oh my god! Oh my god! He's giving me a fucking M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong gave me a fucking aneurysm! I'm gonna die! He cursed you. I fucking went into the bathroom, I'm shoving freaking, you know, cleanups on my fucking nose, trying to, like, survive.
Don't watch me in the water.
Tampons.
We both did tampons at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, Zooey Deschanel and the new show, New Girl.
I watched that.
Yes.
I love that show.
It's awesome. That's a good show.
Cece is gorgeous, and I have very dirty thoughts about the pair of them.
I will say, though, the Bells episode was really weak.
Yeah, I wasn't so much with that one.
Did you guys see the recent one with Justin Long in the bag of bed?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
So awkward.
The Thanksgiving.
Happy birthday, me.
It's like, Shut up.
I'm going to be James Stewart, I guess.
Put a thing in his mouth and be done, please.
I love the Thanksgiving episode.
Jerry Stewart.
I mean, they blow up his they find the old lady dead on the toilet. That is an amazing episode. I was on the floor laughing.
Okay.
But
okay.
We're off.
What?
Very off topic.
But
actually, that is considered a show. Zooey Deschanel was mentioned from Your Highness, so we're still on topic, but it's about her.
6 degrees of separation.
Wrap it up.
Thank you.
Hamsterman, worst movie of the year.
You know, I've got a couple answers for this. One of them, I think Panda, you can rap with me on this one. But I'm going to do my other one first. It's I didn't actually get a chance to see this one, which is why it's not going to be my main answer. But I think the movie I was most disappointed by this year was Cars 2.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but clearly it's not up to Pixar's par, which is very disappointing.
I can help him with this one.
Stop highlighting.
Because I've seen this movie, and it's one of those ones that's made for children. But the kids that watch it, it's way too out of their understanding. There's spies, and there's espionage, and there's all this. My nephew watches it because he thinks Mater is awesome.
He is awesome!
Actually, I've got a funny story to do with Mater, or Larry the Cable Guy. I was playing my Larry the Cable Guy Christmas CD, which children shouldn't be hearing. And he comes running over, and he looks at it, and he's like, Mater? It's like, no, he's like, Mater. I'm like, okay, it's Mater. But this movie really just took it too far. It's like they were trying to reach an older kid base that would understand it, not the little kids that are going
to
watch it.
Okay, so it wasn't to the Shrek par, basically, where if you watch Shrek, you could basically be the adult, but also be the kid, and be able to understand the jokes because of how, like, in-depth they are both, like,
exactly.
Adult.
Exactly.
Like, the mother's
Cars was
unable
to do
then
this.
Then I wonder who the writer was for this, because for someone to write...
John Lasseter helped out with it.
Really?
Yep.
Well, then that
he
might...
He directed it, too.
Then that might be the case, because us growing up as kids watched a lot of spy movies and stuff like that, like the Pink Panther and all, Spy versus Spy, so we would get that.
Yes.
But children today wouldn't see that because there aren't a lot of that. There isn't a lot of that now.
Children,
Children, because you kill them after they're born.
My nephew, he's 19 months old. He's still fascinated by all the bright colors and the all the stuff that goes on.
I love CG.
But Amsterman, what is your real choice for worst movie of the year?
And, Panda actually brought this up earlier, and, I was kind of lit up in my head as you mentioned it. I actually did. I have a lady friend, and she drags me to things occasionally. One of those things was Something Borrowed.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And
the one with John Krasinski in it, right?
Yeah. It's just one of those things where...
Now, is he in love with one of the girls? Is he gay? I don't know.
No. Yeah. He's straight. But it's one of those deals where these two people who have pretty much been on the same path in life, and they seem perfect for each other, and something happens where he's not with her, but with her best friend, who's Kate Hudson. And Kate Hudson's not the type of woman who would be with this kind of man. They're completely polar opposites. An encounter ensues with the two who are kind of meant to be together, kind of fuck, like at the rehearsal dinner, sort of. And she's dealing with the fact that, you know, she likes her friend, but she likes this guy more. And she's conflicted between what she's gonna do, betray her friend and be with the dude, or give up on this guy that she's had feelings for forever, and, you know, and be the friend. And mind you, they have a mutual friend who's played by, oh yeah, that's the Krasinski guy from The Office.
Yes.
Yep.
And he's got a thing for Jennifer Goodwin in this movie.
Okay.
And he's like the silent friend who's like, I can't get involved because I have feelings. And I'm like, in reality, if a girl's got a really close guy friend who's attractive and wants her, eventually she's going to tap it. And she's going to figure out, well, I can't have the guy that I really, really want, but this guy's not bad. But in this movie, the universe worked against that logic in most women. And she ends up with the guy that she thinks she's fated to be with. Like, she completely bashes the friend code and was like, you're not meant to be with him. I'm meant to be with him. Oh, I'm going to be with him. The end. And the guy moves to London. Like, doesn't even fight for her. And I'm like, this movie blows. And I'm a woman. I'm supposed to like girly bad movies. And I did not like this movie.
Yeah, my girlfriend, when I went to go see it, was literally like shouting at the movie screen at the end of the movie with how upset she was by the end.
No!
My vagina is angry.
I mean, I guess just because I'm a geek girl, so I'm always I'm always gonna root for the geek guy who, you know, the good guy. Because, you know, sad fact of life is the good guys don't always, and most of the time, don't win.
So you root for, like, the ever win geek guy. Yeah.
I do. Like, I always root for the underdog. And Krasinski was completely the underdog in this. And I'm like, he's a writer. His book is getting published. He's going to London. You could go to London and be happy with him in London, and you'd rather steal your friend's dude, who she's giving you ample chances to get with, and you're going to fuck all that up because, you know, your vagina's like, no. I'm like, fuck this movie. And I feel bad because I like Jennifer Goodwin as an actress. Like, granted, I feel like now that she's going to do Once Upon a Time on ABC, once that finishes, she should kill herself because she was meant to play that role and that role only. And Kate Hudson should just go around fucking dudes. Like, that seems to be the thing that I think she should do. And Cranston should just stay in The Office.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like your second motion.
But I'm just, it was a horrible,
awkward looks.
It was a horrible girl movie. It was an absolutely horrible girl movie.
I traded with her. She agreed to go see Thor with me, and I agreed to go see
That's love.
go see that with her. That's, I think I got the better deal on that.
You
one.
Did.
Absolutely.
You did, sir.
Okay. So, my pick for worst movie of the year has to be Transformers: Dark of the Moon.
That was close for me. That was definitely close.
I mean,
I saw the first movie unpackaged in my bedroom. I haven't seen any of them, so I'm out of this conversation.
This was a Transformers movie that took itself way too seriously. Like, if you watched the first two, you could tell that some of the stuff was kind of tongue-in-cheek. Especially with the dialogue and everything, and with the actions, and Megan Fox.
Yeah, nothing's ever serious if she's trying to quote unquote act in the movie.
But those two
quote-unquote saves the movie.
Yeah. And that's the shocking thing. If she was in this one, she could have saved this one.
We all paid just to watch her run around and get all sweaty in those tight clothes.
I don't think she's all that hot.
I've met her in person. Not a big
fan, you
know. She is.
That doesn't make her hot.
She stinks of David Silver from 90
Minutes.
She is. Brian Austin Green.
But the
she's
hugest.
Delicious.
Who she cheated on?
The biggest problem.
Was Shia LaBeouf.
The biggest problem I had with it was they really just cranked up the serious level of it way too much. They were like trying to go for Oscar gold.
And do you know what the problem with that was the hype for it. The hype that Michael Bay was like, oh, I'm sorry for that second movie. We're going to try to do a good movie this time.
And good movie,
this is
going to
be the true Transformer. And then exactly, because of that, he took himself way too seriously. And I just wanted to see more stuff blow up, less humans, just robots.
And the CGI wasn't as impressive as it was in the second one.
It's just got worse.
Did
they kill any black robots in this movie?
No, they didn't kill.
That might have saved
it. And you know what? They had John Malkovich in this movie, and he did not blow up a robot in this film by screaming at it. That is in his contract.
And we didn't go inside his head.
And he blows up something with his voice in every fucking movie he does.
Did he blow something up in being John Malkovich?
He blew up your mind.
He blew up Cameron Diaz out his ass or out of whatever it was that big hole into the puddle actually, where they the slapped, and that was his ass.
Was in the movie.
Okay,
Red,
I could buy that.
When the woman falls out the RPG and he shoots it and blows the bitch everything.
And he says, "Old man,
I'm John Malkovich."
Be a really nice twist in the third Transformers movie if they all transformed into John Malkovich.
That I'd go see. I'd go see that opening night. Spoiler there.
I bring it out the piggy.
But
man,
this was one of those films that also went way too long. Like, they should have just sliced the movie off when the Transformers like blow themselves up in the rocket ship. I was like, okay. The Decepticons shall just enslave human race. That should be the end. That should be the end. I would actually have been pleased. I was like, oh, it's kind of like a realistic ending to it. But no, they had to just keep going and going and going. And I'm like, when is this going to be over?
Is this real life?
And it's just one of those films that just betrays the Transformers fan base in so many ways.
Didn't they have Mr. Spock in this too?
Yes, he was the voice of Megatron. Voice,
what the yep, fuck? Voice of Megatron.
No. You see, you know what would have been really cool? You've seen the film, right, Issues Guy?
Yes.
You know the part where they're starting to slide down the building?
Oh, when Sasha LaBeouf's going, bah!
Yes. Wouldn't it have been awesome if just, for no apparent reason, they started playing Dare to Be Stupid?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Weird Al can always save the situation because it would. That's one of the biggest problems I have with it, and why I didn't mind the first two films, because something you touched upon. The first two films were very tongue in cheek. You had to know that Michael Bay tried to be serious with Pearl Harbor or whatever that tried to do this, and he's like, I can't do that. I'm just gonna make fun, silly, stupid movies with Megan Fox's ass and Sasha LaBeouf playing with monkeys or jumping around or
blow shit up.
And blow shit up, exactly. And in this movie, it's just all that humor and any sort of satirical side to knowing how bad this crap was just taken away, and it was just all too serious. Weird Al at that point in time would have been the best thing this movie could have.
Or, any of the other songs would be the original Transformers movie. Imagine if, it's like the epic climax scene. All of a sudden you hear, you got the touch! You got the power!
Robot.
Yeah.
And of course the end credits go.
That first Transformers movie, not the Michael Bay one, the original Transformers movie, that made me cry as a kid.
I remember a lot of people cry.
Optimus Prime got killed. I almost lost my shit as a child watching.
I know. It's like the up of the 80s.
Yeah.
Makes you cry in like the first 20 minutes.
And then these horrible fake Transformer crap.
Anyways,
such a toy.
I know.
Money grab. Anyway.
J.C. Sargent hasn't said his piece yet, I don't think. For worst movie?
I haven't watched a lot of bad movies recently. I did watch a bad movie recently, but it wasn't from 2011. And I haven't watched any of the really bad ones to say, based on my opinion, out of the movies that I haven't seen that are probably the worst, I would probably say Abduction with Taylor Lautner.
Probably
be really bad, but
I just go with Twilight itself.
Twilight is very profitable, but they're trying to make Taylor Lautner into a movie star and action star is kind of ridiculous. Like, I'm gonna be an action star now.
What? I can keep my shirt on.
Yeah,
I can
it's
keep
possible.
My shirt on.
I can't help it. I got that same disease that Matthew McConaughey has.
Have you seen him now? Because after that movie, he slimmed down, so now he doesn't have that weird neck muscle thing.
To wrap it up real quick,
what's
for me,
wrong with those?
Sucker Punch 2011.
Nothing.
Worst movie.
Really?
I really. If you cut out all those awesome scenes of those girls, like fighting and just doing everything that the commercial promised, it would be watchable. Like, I could watch just the commercials and just, I was totally excited for it, but it was a complete letdown when I saw it. And it was pretty cool to see John Hamm in there and a bunch of other stuff, but it just left me very confused and just disappointed and stuff.
Did it make you suicidal?
Did it make me suicidal? Yes.
Okay.
I'm on three different medications right now, and I had to take a lot of vitamin
B shots. So we could possibly sue them now because of
this. Yes, we could.
Great. Fantastic.
Sue Zack Snyder. Yes.
Yes.
We need to go upstairs for a minute. I need to talk to me and Mr. Rope so we can collect more money.
No. Bad.
All right, so...
Nothing, okay.
Would you say this is it for our best of movie section?
I think we've done it.
Okay, Anvil and Issues Guy, I know this is what you two are really good experts at. Let's talk about the year in sports.
No. Oh, God, there's sports? Sports!
Let's talk about sports, baby!
No.
That song was horrible.
Let's talk about you and me.
That song got
Let's
a lot of dudes
laid. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that make me. Let's talk about sports.
No, that we see.
Let's yeah, but sports make me. I had to change it.
Eight.
Hey, we're not Michael Magic Johnson. Well, actually, we do have a Magic Johnson.
The first topic of sports this year in 2011, Anvil, is baseball. Go ahead.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. There were some really awesome things in baseball.
And some really shitty things.
Yeah, they throw the ball and they catch it. It's not really a sport, it's a game, but that's fine.
Is it really easy to watch while not drunk, or harder to watch while you're not drunk?
I think harder to watch when not drunk.
Yeah, harder to watch when not drunk. Baseball is a good background sport to have on in the background and sort of pay attention, be doing other things in the room while baseball's on.
Yeah. I mean, I can't just sit back and watch a game because it's way too boring.
Yeah, it puts me to sleep.
But I am that person when they say, oh my god, did you see that? I have to run over and watch the replay. Especially when the dude gets smashed in the
face. That's why you love the ESPN.
The breakdowns. But this year in 2011, a lot of things happened with the Boston Red Sox. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad, but it happened.
No, it didn't.
How do you feel about that?
Nothing happened.
How do you feel about it? Share your feelings.
How do I feel about it? I feel just great. I think at a point in time, they just need to shake things up. And the Red Sox need to go back to being kind of shitty and get back to what's normal in society.
So you're going
to
make us miserable again?
I really think the most important baseball thing that happened this year, just to get through what mine is just this week, the Angels signing Albert Pujols to a 10-year deal for like $1 billion. And they signed this other dude, too, that's names escaping me, but the Angels are going to be... T.J. Wilson. The Angels are going to be ridiculous next year. That's it. Baseball, I don't care about anything else.
Wait, they changed their names. I almost called it the wrong thing. The Miami Marlins?
The Miami Marlins.
Really?
And Marlins moved to Miami.
Have you seen the uniforms they wear?
You know, like I remember my past. I miss our childhood when there were the only sports teams in Miami were football teams, when no one else wanted to go down there because no one cares eventually. You know, can't they escape except the fact that the Marlins, every time they've won a championship, they've won, what is it, two they've won in history? No one shows up. No one cares in Florida. They're a bunch of old people, and they just want to watch football. It's a Dolphins town.
Where's my tapioca?
That or the Devil Rays.
That's the Devil Rays. But the Devil Rays, even them, they have some sort of trouble with attendance all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Whatever. Florida can go bleep itself.
It's funny. I watched a Florida Marlins game, and a lot of the people came from Boca Raton. And they were so old, they started singing a song like, we're going to party like it's 1899. That's right. They were so old that was 1899.
And in comes the York Arena.
I've been here longer than this stadium has been built. Hey, wait. Red Sox Stadium. Yeah, the Fenway.
100th anniversary next
now,
year.
I've actually entered myself in the raffle to get tickets to...
I didn't know you could fit to the slot.
That's what she thought.
Oh. Then after she screamed a little bit, it was in.
And then you fell asleep. Anyways.
Oh.
Right. So all the hard work fitting this into a...
And then she finished herself off in the bathroom.
Alright. So go ahead.
So I've actually entered into the raffle to get picked to buy tickets for this game. Because... Wait, you can buy four if you win. I'll be in touch if I win. Because... You ready for this? They've already announced how this game's going to be played. It's going to be a 3 o'clock game because the game started at 3 o'clock back then. It will be between the Boston Red Sox and the New York Highlanders.
Highlanders.
They were the Highlanders before they became the Yankees.
Ah, I thought you said the Islanders. I thought the hockey team was going to come up there. Have that hockey
be, although that would be cool.
I'd watch that. I would camp out for those tickets.
The guy's trying to fucking skate on, like, you know, the baseball field.
Yeah. He's trying to run on ice.
Yeah.
So
that's what it would be, the baseball field on ice. It would be great.
Well, they've actually done enough.
The catcher kind of looks like the goalie already, so there you go.
Now, this is how it's, you know, basically going to be. They're going to wear the old throwback uniforms. It's going to be a really cool thing. It should be a great time. And they actually have a lot of other things planned this season on other memorable
games.
Shut up! They're going to wear the throwback jerseys.
Yeah.
And they're actually having a game that people don't realize, and I'm going to.
So who's playing Babe Ruth?
Me.
Oh, okay.
I
heard John Goodman.
I actually have to learn how to snort coke, have a drinking problem, beat women, all before I can play Babe Ruth, though.
And be a passive-aggressive racist.
Oh, I thought you were going to say be Ty Cobb.
Oh, there's that, too.
But there's actually one game being held, which was technically the first game ever at Fenway, but doesn't get credit for it. It was the Boston Red Sox versus the Harvard Crimson Tide. The Sox played...
The Crimson Tide. It's such a dirty name.
I know, isn't it?
It's sad because they can only play once a month.
Sounds like sounds like an industrial-sized tampon.
No comment made by the woman.
And then, I actually saw their new commercial for Harvard. Tampax. Supported by the Crimson Tide.
My yours at BJ's.
Where you can get everything except for BJ's.
That's not true.
That is not.
That's not true.
Thank you. I have proven that one. Aisle 14. So
you would.
So yeah, that's baseball.
Yes. Let's move on to football.
Wait. I'm not done yet. But if you do get a chance, take some of the tours because they're actually bringing out some of the old artifacts from back in the days, and you can actually get a chance to walk through and see a lot of the old stuff.
Does that mean they're bringing out Johnny Pesky again?
Actually, I know Johnny Pesky. He lives right there in Swampscott.
I know.
Swampscott, yeah.
He goes to that diner that's right across from Salem State.
And he actually eats at Brothers Deli all the time. He's a really great guy, though.
Yeah.
I've won his World Series ring.
My little brother did that too, yeah.
Well, back when the North Shore Spirit were here in Lynn, I used to work security for all their special events. Mm-hmm. So when Pesky would come in, I'd hang out with him. And I wore this really nice silver ring with an eagle and black onyx. And he loved it. So, he's like, can I see that? I'm like, can I see yours? And, you know, we switched. I'm like, can I keep? Because he was joking about he was going to keep my ring. I'm like, then I keep? And, you know, he's like... No. So, you know, I kind of got my
revenge. You whippersnapper. No.
You son of a bitch.
I really like that ring. I really like that ring.
You know I'm from Lynn, right?
And he quickly just turned into Caesar from Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Can you keep that? No.
And then I changed into,
Gollum.
That would be Gollum, awesome.
Really?
Process.
Okay. But... Go take the tour. It's only $10.
$10?
And it's about a 45-minute to an hour tour through. You actually have to sit on the green monsters and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really cool thing. And they're supposed to be holding a few events. Check it out at RedSox.com. Because they're actually going to be doing a tour. We can actually go into the dugout, walk through everywhere. It's supposed to be a lot bigger and everything. So, check it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
So now that we touched on baseball, let's move on to football.
Football.
Whoa, no touching football. No.
Can I touch the football?
We can all touch the football.
Yay!
You can touch the football.
And then I'll pull the football away from you right before
No!
We'll see. I'm pissed off. Speaking of the Peanuts, I was just pissed off on, it was either Halloween, yeah, it was Halloween night. I happened to be home because didn't have anything else to do. I already did the Salem thing. And friggin' the Peanuts Halloween special was on no frickin' channel. It should be on every year somewhere.
Yeah, the Disney, the Charlie Brown Christmas aired the first week of December this year.
Oh, should be on the frickin' night of, but anyways, yeah, sorry. Back to football.
Well, we started off this year with a lockout.
Tebow. Tebow, Tebow.
We're not there yet. We're still at the lockout.
Tebow, Tebow. Oh, sorry.
Hey, Jesus. Just because he worships you.
I'm doing the Tebow. I'm sorry. I'm over here doing the Tebow.
Exactly. We know you look like Jesus. He worships you. It's okay.
He does worship me. And he's like Doug Flutie mixed with Mike Allstott.
No. You cannot bring Mike Allstott
in. He's like Mike Allstott. He's like a
Mike Allstott.
He's running through people with the power of Christ. The power of Christ compels you. He's like friggin' Simon Belmont throwing holy water off his body. Crazy. Sorry, that's a while to get there, but that's what I wanted to say.
I will have a Tebow question for you in a minute.
Okay.
Tebow. So the lockout ends. We get to football. We've had some really great stuff. Peyton Manning hasn't played. His Colts can't win a game.
Yeah. The Colts have sucked so bad.
Tom Brady looks like Jesus. I mean, well, actually, he cut his hair.
So now he looks like a Nazi. Yeah.
So he went from looking like the Issues guy to J.C. Sargent.
Yep. He spanned the whole family of the Issues program in one...
Yes.
And in one day, he went from, the Issues guys went from sleeping with Giselle to being out the front door while J.C. Sargent was on her.
Yeah, way to go.
Yes.
Way to go. Yeah. I'm going back to Bridget Monahan. I think she's hotter.
Yo, she definitely is hotter. I'm sorry. I love her.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially in Blue Bloods. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. I can't believe he left her.
Hey, hands on the table. Hands on the table.
Hey,
start out with a lockout, but then they got their stuff together, and it's been a fun season for the Patriots.
Yeah, we've had some really good football lately. I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen. Now, let's move on to your buddy Tebow. Very unexpected.
It's really difficult for me because I am a Raider fan, so having him be a Bronco and doing good really kind of hurts.
Oh, that is your division. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my division. But that being said, I just... He does remind me, all jokes aside, of like a big, huge Doug Flutie he doesn't have Flutie's arm. He can't throw all the way down the field like that little Canadian, and no, he's not Canadian, but that little Canadian League wonder could. But
I know, what was he like, 3'5" or
3'5"?
Something?
3'5". The guy was 3'5", and he could throw the ball 100 yards on his feet, you know, on his front foot,
not his back foot.
On his back foot, yeah. Flutie was amazing. He just ate some Flutie flakes, and it would be like Popeye.
He represented the quarterback guild.
Yes. He was the leader of the quarterback guild. But I'm enjoying watching this Tebow run. It's especially the last couple of weeks, it's been really amazing to see him put together. But I don't think they're going to do anything. They're one and done in the playoffs if they make it in the playoffs on a fluke. AFC is a crapshoot, to be quite honest. The NFC, I could see one of three teams winning, but mainly it's the Packers to lose. But the AFC, I think any of the... I mean, with Houston's quarterback going down, that really freaking hurts them. And Baltimore...
Wait, which quarterback? They've lost four already.
Lost four quarterbacks, yeah. Houston's hit the wall injury-wise. They're just in that warp zone of hell right now. They're in the -2-2 in Super Mario Brothers 1 where they're just endlessly going in that loop and getting hurt and destroyed by a fish. But they're done. And Baltimore, I don't buy Baltimore. Pittsburgh, maybe. It's Pittsburgh or New England or... The Tebows or the Raiders. I like the Raiders once McFadden comes back because their defense is not that as bad as they've been showing.
I'm going to say it like this. Houston is so bad off that I played defensive end semi-pro and they called me, you want to play quarterback?
Yeah,
you
want to play quarterback?
And I asked them if they were stupid.
You're stupid.
Because, granted, I want to be in the league.
You're so stupid.
I'm not that stupid.
Stupid!
But on to some further stuff. Now, everybody prays to God, who's religious, and says, help me win this game. Now, the morning of the next game, Tebow's going to pray to God and ask him for help. Someone, devil-worshipping rapist Ben Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger.
Who does God go with, Jesus boy or rapist?
Oh. God, I hope it's Jesus boy. Not because of the devil-worshipping thing, because,
devil-worshipping rapist bastard.
It's not so much synonymous, because I think he is a rapist, asshole, piece of shit. Pretty much the lowest of low is Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. I hate Peyton Manning because he's so good, but I have a lot of respect for him as a person and stuff like that. But Ben Roethlisberger, what he did and what he had his bodyguards do, and that whole situation,
he should be rotting in some cell right now, in my opinion.
Do you know what I think they should do? They should send him to another bar and let the biggest, baddest, rapist-loving prisoner out and have him fall Roethlisberger into the bathroom.
With his boy blocking the door so he can't get out. Yeah,
just like walk up behind Roethlisberger, rip down his pants, bend him over, and we're not going to go any further because this is a family program.
That's freaking justice.
Bullshit.
Yeah, agreed.
Hey, my nephew loves this show at 19 months old.
I guess
because he listens to it and yells my name because he hears me talking to him.
Because he doesn't understand what it is that you're actually really saying.
I know, right?
Pretty soon he'll be like one of the characters in Detroit Metal City.
Where'd you hear that? I'm going to grape you in the mouth!
Look, my nephew is a genius, though.
Okay, but we're on sports.
I just made a comment because they said luckily he doesn't understand, and I said he's a genius, so he does.
Okay.
Thank you. I understand we're doing sports. I know I've taken a lot of blows to my head from all the years of sports, but I'm not that stupid. I'm still smarter than half
just
the guys.
Borderline retarded.
Yes, borderline. I don't need a helmet or a short bus yet. But yet they want my brain for post-concussion syndrome training. Okay, what's next?
Stop playing with Blue's goo.
Mrs. Duck, what do we have next on our list?
How about our favorite thing, hockey this year?
Thank you. I was waiting for this.
Fucking Bruins!
Hey! This is
Tim Thomas last year in the playoffs. One of the most amazing runs in a goalie I've ever seen in my life. Amazing.
Yes.
But that wasn't even just a fluke, because look at what he's doing this year.
Yeah. No, look what the team's doing this year.
Still playing goal amazingly.
Yeah, but they're giving him some nights off, and they're still playing amazing. When, what's his name? Net.
Tuca.
Tuca, yeah.
Tuca Ross.
Tuca was fucking up a little bit.
Look. Yeah, Tuca fucks up here and there.
But they went on that big winning streak, and they were winning a couple of games where Thomas was resting up.
You have to remember, that one game that could have been a loss, but we lost it in the shootout, was Rask. During that streak.
Son of a bitch.
Is it me, or are they letting them fight more in hockey, and I love it?
Oh. Listen. Yeah.
The refs are just sitting there watching it now. Like, maybe it was a few years since I watched hockey and like watching it in the playoffs last year and now the beginning of this year. It's just watching all the fights. They should let them do that in all sports. Real.
Yes. That is definitely what I'd love to see.
Not in football. Not in football.
Why not? Actually, you might get a helmet swung in football.
Yeah, let's just say that. Well, there was the curb stomp in football.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Thanksgiving. But
I kind of really want to see it in baseball. That would make me want to sit down and watch a game. It's like, okay, come on, throw a high inside cheese. I want to see
high inside cheese?
That's what they call it. Don't worry about it.
You're making me hungry.
No, because you step back and you're like this.
Okay.
I like cheese.
Get the girl some cheese.
She wants cheese and pepperoni on a piece of bread called pizza.
Yes.
So
for my mouth hole.
Anyway.
Anybody want to touch this? Anybody want to touch this? Okay.
That's what she said.
Thank you. At least we got something. So, I really think Terry O'Reilly should come back to the Bruins and teach them all how to fight. Because I miss watching the jersey get ripped over your head. And the second your face is gone, and punching you in the face from through the jersey.
Yeah.
But there was recently on the news that I was watching, they've been trying to figure out if they want to take the fighting aspect out of hockey.
Like, get out of the room!
People would stop watching hockey.
It's not me. It's the people. They find that it's too violent.
Yeah. It is hockey.
Like it's hockey.
British accent.
It's violent.
It's too violent. Hey, it's a wee bit
too violent.
If you
watch that show that said British accents make people less afraid of stuff, doesn't mean it's not true.
It also makes them
pay for your
more intense.
Okay, so here we go.
Pay for your talent. And how about smile?
Excuse me, I'm trying to talk, sir. Thank you. No. I'm trying to break down an awesome situation.
All right,
ever since you've been talking about fighting
situation.
In baseball, I've just been imagining Pedro Martinez throw Don Zimmer to the ground. And like just a rinse and repeat in my mind since you said that.
Wait, don't forget the best one. When Veritek punched A-Rod in the face with the
mace. Right in the face, yeah. He just punched A-Rod right fucking
face. Do you know if you walk up to Veritek and ask him to sign that picture, he won't?
That's because he's, you know, he's proud. He's a proud player. It diminishes his seriousness as a
I cannot autograph that.
It's like going up to Oscar De La Hoya and asking him to autograph the picture of him in lingerie.
Actually,
wait, can you forward me that picture? I'm a little intrigued by that.
But All right, so we had a great run last year.
Yeah, awesome run at hockey.
I know me and Blue have been watching hockey for the last few years.
Touching.
Even before they got good.
Mm-hmm. And, but we've always pissed and moaned about it, like, what the F? They're not going to do it this year, of course.
And then I love the fact that you have all these front runners who never watch hockey until, actually right around the time that we had the epic collapse to Philly, which still hurts. I'll never forget that night.
Yeah.
I was at home watching it. Blue was at North Shore Community College working, watching it.
Thanks.
I actually met up with him and we went and had a few drinks and listened to heavy metal just to clear our heads.
Yeah.
With Dice K.
Oh. Well, yeah, Dice K.
Dice K.
Yes, Dice K joined us for beer. What? I play football with Dice K.
Not that Dice K.
His real name is Paul Yang. We just call him Dice K on the football team.
Oh, okay.
He joined.
All I'm thinking for a lunch will be a. So sad. So
whoa,
sad.
Whoa, whoa, the get it right. He brought a translator. But so we get into the playoffs.
He's so angry.
Just like everybody else from Boston, we're like, we can do it. I'm not gonna hold my breath, but we can do it. And then, of course, first round. You go game 7 against the hated Montreal Canadiens.
Canadiens!
And I have a lot of family up in Canada. So we were talking shit to each other.
Yeah.
Like, we were smack talking said, like, so hard, it wasn't even funny. Okay. My uncle, he's, you know, he says some really mean things about my Bruins. And then we beat them.
And then they had a riot. You can't forget the riot.
No. I'm talking the first round of the playoffs.
All right.
Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, okay.
So, of course, I have to call him in Canada and use my long-distance charge. Because it's well worth paying that charge to say, we beat you, bitch! I love you, uncle. Hang up the phone. Yes, that was the exact phone call. So then we go against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, in the lightning round.
See, now that was the one thing that I had to say. I couldn't watch any of those games, really. Because
but wait, I thought we went against Montreal in the last round.
No. That was Vancouver in the last round.
Vancouver.
Just because they're from Canada doesn't make them all the same.
Yes.
So it does.
They're from the English side. Vancouver's all, from the French side.
They're all flappy heads. But
Vancouver's from your side. French.
But for the most part, when I used to watch the Bruins when I was younger, and actually was able to go to the Old Garden and watch the match, I'd always get stuck under the goalie net. Or behind the goalie net.
Okay, behind the
goalie net, right?
Because that's great seat being under the goalie net.
But, yeah, that would be a fantastic. I wouldn't mind getting hit with pucks. But for the most part, the old setup for the stadium seating was, there was the upper shelf was over top, so the only thing when you were watching the game, and we'd always get Tampa Bay tickets because they'd always lose against them, was the worst thing because you could only see what was going on at the goalie's net. And whenever the Bruins was on that side of the goalie net, that's where the most action was going. So it was the worst thing because you got, you know, the rest of the rink getting blocked off by the shelf. And then you're able to see the goalie. You couldn't even see past the blue line. That was how bad that seat was. But I just was able to recently go to the new game and see, like, the new setup, and I was so impressed. But I couldn't watch that part of the series with the playoffs because I was like, oh, man, as soon as I watch this, they're going to lose with Tampa Bay. Screw this. And then I didn't watch that. So that's, I can contribute.
Wow. So you remember a game from when we were, what, 9?
Yeah. Nice. Basically, like, 93, I think.
Apparently we went back in time 18 years.
Yeah!
And we didn't need to use the ocarina
time. I was about to say, use the ocarina!
Oh, wait, what? Should we move on to this next subject?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Now, until 2 days ago, the answer to the basketball question we're not done with hockey yet?
We still haven't done anything.
We haven't?
We're still in the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
We've been talking about it for 15 minutes. What are you talking about?
I like stories.
an interesting touch to fast forward it to the end. So when the Bruins finally beat Vancouver, I went up to Toronto for job training, and
And it didn't even occur to me that I was from Boston and I had my ID all over me. And I went up and, like, right when I first got to the airport, I gave them my passport and they looked down and saw my address in Massachusetts. And they're just like, "You're lucky we don't kick you out of the fucking country." I don't know why I made them sound Irish or something like that. Just how the accent came out. But that's what the Canadians were like to me. But then they were all really nice. And then I went to a bar and a bunch of them bought me beers, being like, giving me shit, but the whole time getting me drunk and kind of pat me on the back. "Oh, the fucking Bruins, fuck them." And they were all Irish, of course.
Irish Canadians. You gotta make them sound innocent but dumb. Like, "I just don't understand you guys. You're too violent. What's wrong with you?"
And then there was a few Scots like, "William Wallace was 10 foot high if he was an inch."
Just not right, eh?
"Well, truthfully, you Bruins don't know what the fuck you're doing, eh?"
"It's just not right."
You don't.
So, we won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Thomas won the Conn Smythe Trophy, which is a playoff MVP.
That was a damn huge
pitch.
And then he took the Vezina.
That was another huge
pitch. He had a three-way.
Yep.
And because he's a goalie doesn't mean he shouldn't have gotten the four-way and taken the MVP.
You know, I can't wait till the break because I have to go to the bathroom and take a Vezina.
Oh, well, you know what?
You too?
Yeah.
As long as it's a Vezina, I'm not a Luongo.
Oh!
It's definitely not a Luongo.
Because, you know, it doesn't stop anything. So, we win the Stanley Cup. We celebrated like champs. To this day, we're still celebrating.
USA.
That's right! To this day, and like I said, I have family in Canada. I will not let them live it down. Because we beat two of their teams. And of course, I was the jerk. I called Canada after we won.
Oh, hey, Canada.
Actually,
come on outside. Let's compare Stanley Cups with one another. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't have one.
Well, did you see the porno that came out after that? Wait, two girls, no cup. Starring the Sedin twins.
But, that's disgusting.
So I called every relative in Canada, and none of them answered their phone for me. But I did have to sing, and my bill was quite high after this. "We are the champions" in full verse on every one of their voicemails.
Jeez.
And then I just sent out their Christmas care package, you know, with real presents and a bunch of Bruin shit. They've got, oh, and like I know the newspaper guy where I work. He hooked me up with a bunch of the championship newspapers. Each one of them has one. So, we rule. All right, let's move on to basketball.
Okay, basketball's pretty...
There is none.
Yeah, it's pretty quick here. I'll go down my little basketball gripe quick. I don't want to talk much about last season happened, but until this week I was going to talk about enjoying watching the Heat lose last year and how fun it was to watch LeBron James go from the most popular athlete in the world to one of the most hated athletes in the world, and that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. But I can't not talk about what just happened this week. David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA, who, let's be quite honest, realistically, is probably one of the worst commissioners that's ever... I just don't like him. Two lockouts and two work stoppages under his reign. He makes a lot of awful mistakes. Because no one wants to buy the New Orleans Hornets? Are they still called the Hornets? Yeah, the Hornets. They should really be called the Jazz, and the Jazz should be called... But whatever, who cares? The New Orleans Hornets, they are without an owner, but they have a staff that makes deals. They made a trade and traded away their best player, and they traded it for a package deal, which, to be quite honest, brought in... probably made their team almost a little bit better as a team, but without a star player coming back in. So because David Stern faces to make money off a deal when he sells the team, he nicks the trade and decided that the trade couldn't happen just because he didn't want it to happen.
Well, actually, if you read what he said...
He said it was because of basketball, this or that.
They made him explain this. He wants more draft picks coming to the Hornets so they can pick better, and younger players. So that way they'll actually have a younger team to build on.
Okay, so trade him Rondo. Give him Rondo. We'll take Chris Paul here in Boston.
They just reworked the deal and they resubmitted it to him today.
The Laker deal?
Yeah, they resubmitted. All three teams resubmitted the deal as of today. We're waiting for an answer.
Okay.
To be honest with you, as a Celtics fan, I hope it doesn't happen because the Lakers, it's going to help the Lakers out a little bit. But I still don't think he... If a team wants to make a bad trade, they have a right to make a bad trade.
Yeah, but not when the team's owned by the NBA, then they have veto power. But I'm going to say this that would make me laugh. This trade goes through, right? And you see a press conference. Chris Paul signs his name. Like, you're officially a Laker. How do you feel? I feel great. Stands up, trips over the chair, blows out his knee, his career's over.
That would be amazing.
I would wet myself, and then Kobe comes running over. I've got you, snap.
And he chokes, yeah, and pulls a Reggie Lewis and just falls down and dies.
Oh, shit.
It's not too soon. Come on.
No, but that just came out of left field.
Yeah. I love Reggie, don't get me wrong. It's a childhood, that's a childhood horror in my past.
It is, same here.
Really is. I loved the Reggie Lewis Celtics team, and I thought they had potential to win, but that's beside the point.
So we can move
Dee Brown's my hero.
There we go. We can move on from basketball because there's nothing really going on.
Well, yeah, the basketball, the strike stopped. That's basically what's happened. Training camp starts soon. Celtics are in trouble.
I want to ask, though, how long do you think it'll be before we start taking the NBA seriously again after this whole...
Has anyone taken the NBA serious since the last one?
No.
No.
And
I don't think I'm going to
take the NBA serious since Jordan retired.
Listen, I'm going to say it like this. I became a fan again after the last work stoppage. I don't think I can do it again.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you date a girl, you guys break up, you get back together, but then you break up again. I can't do this. It's too emotional. Tough.
I wanted them to take the year off, to be honest with you.
Me too.
It would have made me happier. I think I would have become more of a fan if they took the whole year off, not this whole... Well, we're just going to rush and throw a good Christmas thing at you.
Basically, they didn't change anything, and we're just going to have another work stoppage in another few years. They just slapped it together because they all want to profit a little bit because they realize neither side is going to budge.
For me personally, I feel like it's going to take 18 months, which will be 2 actual basketball seasons for me to actually start taking them a little bit more seriously.
But yeah, that's basketball.
Right.
Okay, so let's move on.
Let's talk about MMA.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, this is actually something that most of us could touch on because I've dragged the Duck to events, Blue to events. We've watched a lot of fights.
Oh.
It's been a busy year for MMA.
I can't touch it.
You wish that's you could touch it.
Said. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah,
that's I don't exactly want to touch it.
You know you want to be in one of those sandwiches with one of those jacked men rolling all over you.
Nope. No. So, I like them lanky and geeky. Thank you.
They have really lanky, geeky guys, too. They have them all the way down to 125 pounders.
Jesus.
She's thinking about this. Yes. She'd probably be a Joey Lozon. He's from Bridgewater, Mass.
I'd have to see. Anyway, tell us what's going on.
Well, anybody that follows B3 knows that we've covered a lot of events. And MMA, especially here in New England, is huge right now.
It's thriving.
Pulsing. The Ultimate Fighter just ended
throbbing.
Another reality
It's throbbing show. With anticipation.
Something's throbbing.
I'm trying not to go dirty with the sport that I actually do.
It's making you want to tap out.
You do it.
Don't tap out too early.
Stamina's so, everything.
I want to get into what I consider the fight of the year. I watched this one fight. Bits and pieces of it, because unfortunately I was at work and I can only catch what people are putting online for me. I've talked to a lot of people who were there from many fight teams, professional fighters, and they all say the same thing, and just from the little bit I've been able to see, I can tell you straight out what my fight of the year was. And it was actually Thanksgiving Massacre for the AFO, Matt Daugherty versus Rico DiCicciolo. It was a slugfest. It was a great fight. And it wound up ending with... Alright, for those that don't know, Rico DiCicciolo was the number one ranked lightweight, I think it is.
Is this a local fighting stuff?
Yes, this is New England fighting. This was actually held in Mansfield. But he was the number one ranked in New England, going against Matt Daugherty from Team Prudence Array, which we've actually done a lot of work with.
And we're not just picking it because of them.
No, this is actually... I put this out there to a lot of people that I know through Facebook and everything, who are fighters, and they all agreed. Mm-hmm. I actually got like 85% of them saying this fight. A few others, you know, picked like friends of theirs, but this fight came back a lot, especially from some of the professionals that I know and that were actually there. And the one coming down to, there was 10 seconds left in the fight, and Matt got Rico's back and wound up choking him out in a rare naked choke and beat him.
A rare naked choke?
I'll explain this later. I'm not going to do this over the air. Actually, in a few minutes...
A rear naked choke? So his rear was naked while he choked
like
him?
That.
Oh, Lord.
That's not hot.
David Carradine was doing this right before...
Oh, God!
Oh, yeah, that's what David Carradine was doing himself. I opened things up with the Reggie Lewis thing. I'm sorry.
So, I'm giving fight of the year to Matt Daugherty and Rico DiCiullo. There was a few fights that were very disappointing as well.
Yeah.
There's actually way too many for me to throw it all over with.
But one that comes to mind.
The Fox fight?
Oh,
definitely.
Yes.
Thank you. You literally stole it from your mouth. The Fox fight. They fought this
fight
forever, and it lasted a minute.
The Fox fight?
That can be said for a lot of things.
All right. UFC signed with Fox 25, which is us now up here,
mm-hmm.
Fox all over the world, whatever, and they were going to start hosting fights for people for free. Well, they decided, we're going to give you one fight. Well, unfortunately, the fight was over in a minute, and people were left very disappointed. They hyped this fight.
Yeah,
there's
he was on all the main shows, all the big ESPN shows hyping this fight. It was
really?
The big. It was good. It was slated to be the big mainstream splash, so to speak.
Yeah.
To back to like what boxing was when it used to be on Channel 31 and the Playboy, the Electric Blue. Sorry, went down the porno
and
route.
And then UFC was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, this has never happened before."
No.
They should have. They should have just put a card on. They should just put like three or four fights on.
I'm trying to think of grandma.
Well,
I'm
that's
sorry.
What they're doing now. They're actually giving us four fights on the next fight card.
Nice.
And
so we'll get 4 minutes this time.
No, because you have to do walkouts and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, so 10 minutes.
Seriously. Remember how much money we've put down on UFC now? We've dropped it. I think we dropped at least $200.
No, more than that. It's $50 a fight. I think we're near around $500 altogether.
Yeah, okay. So let's just put it this way. From the parties that we held at my place,
yeah,
that we were doing the fight nights and all that other stuff, the money that we spent towards that, how many times have we walked out of disappointments?
Most
I want to say about
safe.
90% of the time.
Agreed.
90%
I was
going to
say
time.
75%, but then I realized, yeah.
Well, I wasn't disappointed because it was always pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. But you guys ever noticed that we were disappointed with the bigger fights, but
the smaller
no-name guys were like, wow.
I mean, okay, the one that we have to say, like, the one that always gets me is we called it
Hamburger
Meat versus Slab of Beef.
This guy was that looked like he was built like a brick shit house.
That was Todd Duffy.
Versus this guy that looked like he was Flubber. And he goes and knocks out the Slab of Meat guy. We were just like, holy.
Like Tim Sylvia.
Yeah, it was just like, holy crap, this is awesome. But then when he got up to the main fight, it lasted either 2 seconds or it went the whole way, and the person who should have won didn't get picked.
Felt like 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were. It was a heavyweight fight. They were gassed out, so they're in there. It's like
I was so unbelievably disappointed in the last fight that I saw with the Jason Mayhem Miller versus.
Oh, don't bring that up. I'm
so pissed.
Let him speak.
I see the anger welling up in your face.
It was such a horrible freaking fight. It wasn't even funny.
I know.
I threw it from my mouth.
It was so one-sided.
I love Mayhem Miller.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
I want to see him make it, but who the fuck taught him to do stand-up?
Okay, here's him. Okay.
Well, Jeff walked into a
bar. I have an idea how to make it funny.
And he makes a punch, and a punch, if it's only one side, and Jason Mayhem Miller's laughing. And Michael Bisping, and hey, we're going to future block off. Oh, I'm doing a pretty chopping jaw, Billy's. Oh, no, bro, you totally get me.
look
at me. That's crazy.
King, cut it.
Not that I can't do this.
And then I get punched out.
I've got one.
I use my TKO.
Cut it. I've got one. Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez.
Shut up!
That
ruined my birthday.
That was It was supposed to be like an apocalyptic fight. That's how crazy it was.
It was on my birthday.
And it turned friggin' one-sided to Cain Velasquez. Yes. Dropping these hammer-fist bombs. And you, I thought I was listening to friggin' Brock Lesnar's skull crack. But yeah, and he totally passed out. But it was like, what the hell?
And truthfully, like, the funny part was this was my birthday weekend.
Mm-hmm. And what, last weekend?
No. The night of that fight.
It was last year, actually. It was 2010, I think. Yeah.
We were sitting there, and we were really excited. They're all like, damn, dude, you get some good fights. And then it came to the night.
Oh, yeah. Did it again?
Oh, yeah, because the stripper, baby. Oh,
it's just Panda.
Wait, hold on.
Sorry.
Wait, keep it going for a minute.
Okay, cool. Wait, I just didn't want to be too loud.
Keep it going for a second.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Don't you dare throw money.
What are you doing?
Yeah, take that dance. He's dancing everybody, yeah.
Ow!
Ooh, yeah.
Woo! You're making it rain on me!
This is what it's all about.
Grow back and rain!
The back reverse butt twist. Yeah. Red hand blue. Left foot green.
The Kimura! Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
And Hamster Man is silenced with shockness.
Sorry.
What else do we have?
This is the end of the episode.
Disappointments, like when Chris Cyborg. Well, I know this is Strike Force, but when Chris Cyborg went up against Gina Carano, it's just one of those things where, you know, Gina Carano kind of dropped off. She's working on a movie or two or something like that, and then she'll be back. Or she was supposed to be fighting recently, but the other person, I guess, dropped out because they were rolling in the sack with somebody and got pregnant.
That's why you can't let women in anything.
That's bullshit.
Because then they're going to go and get pregnant.
I'm a father.
Ruin everything.
They go and get
pregnant. Pregnancy sucks. I wouldn't know. I've never been pregnant.
But imagine that announcement is like a week before the fight, and they're like, and Gina Carano's fight's been canceled due to her
opponent.
She's expecting
her
9 pounds.
Her opponent screwing up and acting female. How dare she have sex?
I mean, Cyborg can't have sex because
Cyborg
she's on steroids.
Definitely looks
she's
like
she could have sex, but
I could have a child. She has a husband. They both go by Cyborg.
And they're both actually MMA fighters, and they're Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Wait. You guys ready for the laugh?
I want to make love to you.
Sit on my face.
Here we go. Ejaculate.
I am coming. Come oil.
I can make you guys laugh even harder with their real names. Her real name is Chris Cyborg. Man's name. His name is Evangelista Cyborg. Who sounds like the woman?
That's pretty feminine. That's very
Evangelista.
Feminine.
And when somebody questions his manner, he's like,
right.
Go ahead, make fun of my voice. I dare you.
Do what he says? He's like, my name's not a woman's name. I'm Brazilian.
Well,
where's the rest of this thing? I'm Brazilian.
Still.
You sound like a girl's name and your wife?
Wait.
I'm Brazilian.
Hello.
He's like, I got a wax.
Hello, Frisco.
But I mean, there has been some serious disappointments with the MMA, you know, franchise. But you know, that's the thing when you're playing at the professional level, anything can happen right now.
Yeah, like pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's hard to have women fighters. You know, especially UFC's. You know, doesn't sponsor women's fighting. You know,
yeah, one punch to the stomach, a baby pops out.
Don't you picture that? It's like she'll, you know, the woman never fights again. She looks at the baby. You ruined my fight career. I can't beat.
That's why a lot of dancers don't.
You.
A lot
I never
of dancers.
Won that rematch. I was never a contender.
Yeah, a lot of dancers don't have babies for that same reason. Right.
Well, I do have one more thing in MMA.
Spade New Year fighters.
This is my inspirational story of MMA.
Ooh, inspirational story.
I got a chance to watch a guy who I've actually seen live. He's, you know, a guy I've spoken to a few times. But I got to watch him live on TV the other night. And they told his story. But it's a double part story. For one, he was, you know, fighting on TV because he went and tried out and he brought his best friend.
Best friend.
Boom. Shut up. Okay. He brought his best friend Addy, and Addy got selected. Well, unfortunately, Addy was coming home from the gym one night, and he got into an accident and passed away.
Okay.
So he goes down and fights in Addy's place and wins.
Nice.
In a first-round submission. The kid, his name is Nick Newell. He fights in the notorious Nick Newell. And he is a true inspiration story. He's a 6-0 pro, and I really think he can make it to the UFC. But he was born with a condition where his left arm didn't...
Oh, is he the one-armed kid? Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great kid. I've seen him live at my first Cage Titans event. I've spoken to him quite a few times. I mean, I've talked to him on Facebook. The kid's magnificent, and he's one of the most humble kids I've ever seen. He's funny. And if you guys ever get a chance to watch this fight, it's all over YouTube. It's everybody's sharing on Facebook. Watch it. You'll be truly inspired just by what this kid does.
So which hand or arm he doesn't have?
The left arm.
The left arm?
It's
That's pretty crazy.
Shortly after the elbow.
And he submitted somebody.
Actually, he had most of his fights by submission, and they're all in the first round.
That's ridiculous.
He is a beast. So, Notorious Nick Newell, watch out for him. He should be going to the UFC. Mm-hmm. I'm all set.
Okay. Well, that concludes the first part of our Best of 2011 show. Next week, we will be discussing video games and music in 2011. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Melodic.
And Bill.
And Delicious.
Gay Caesar.
And Hamsterman 2049.
Is your guy.
Say sayonara, bitches.
We are the bastards.
Yeah.
Wednesdays, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Dick. That.
King Baby Dick.
Freudian slip.
Ladies and gentlemen, right here on the Boston Bash Brigade, the Duck of Misty has no penis.